Brian Noonan on 720 WGN here until 7 o'clock. Glad you are with us. Big show planned as always. Much more fun when you are involved. How do we get involved, Brian? It's easy. 312-981-7200. That is the phone number. When you call in, you'll be talking to Cody. Check me out in my Rockford t-shirt. Goff, he is the executive producer from, ironically enough, Rockford, Illinois. Hence, his repping them with his wardrobe. I do not have any wardrobe that has the name of my town on it, so I am just wearing a regular Buffalo plaid type shirt. But that's neither here nor there. It doesn't matter. This is not a visual medium. Unless you're, of course, you're watching on WGNRadio.com. Then you can see us. So be nice to Cody. If you're nice to him, you get to me. That's how it works. You like texting. All the kids love to text. Even my mom loves to text. You can text us at the same number, the aforementioned 312-981-7200. Facebook and Twitter, it's Brian Noonan Show. Carrier Pigeon, just point them toward the big building at 303 East Wacker. Have them hit the window, and we'll scrape up the message from the sidewalks below. Very, very exciting. We are going to be talking about slang after 5 o'clock. You know we love to talk about words on this program because words are our bread and butter, Cody. That's how we make our living. Comes right out of our pie hole, and man, oh man, the people love the words.
PG slang.
PG slang, right.
Safe for work, as they say.
I thought it was just not safe for work. I thought it was NSFW.
You can say SFW.
You can?
That's a thing.
Huh.
That's not going to come up in our slang conversation?
I don't think it's on my list.
Well, add it to the list.
We will be taking people. Listen, we're going to take people's favorite and least favorite slang as we talk about this new survey. We are also going to talk about the Green Tie Ball, which is coming up. It's a huge annual gala. People look forward to it every year. This is the 28th or 29th, we will find out, gala to help the Chicago Gateway Green. So we'll find out all about that. And then it is our once-a-month segment at the breweries. Jesse and John will be back. We'll be talking about different styles of beer and always taking your questions when it comes to the fermented beverage. It is, it's not fermented, is it? Yeah, it is. Sure it is. I don't know. I just had some. I visited one of a new brewery yesterday after first of all, this is the week why we live in this city, right? Weather-wise. This makes living here. We can survive February, March, a late summer. We can survive it all because we have had San Diego-like beautiful weather here in Chicago.
There is nothing like summer in Chicago.
No, it's gorgeous. It is to the point where Friday night, my lovely wife said to me, it's going to be nice tomorrow. We should do something outside. I said, yes, we should definitely do something outside. Then it was like, well, what are we going to do outside? There was talk about going raspberry picking. But then I thought to myself, well, this place wanted a lot of money to walk in and do the labor yourself. If I'm going to pay that much for raspberries, I'm going to outsource that work. Now, we are going to be going apple picking soon, but they only charge you $1 to walk in, and then the apples are very reasonable per pound. And I like going apple picking because they have the apple cider donuts. Coincidence? No, absolutely not. That's why I go to the orchard.
And you get a lot more bang for your pick.
You do.
You know, you reach up once, you got a whole apple. Not a tiny little raspberry.
If I'm going to be bent over picking raspberries, I might as well get me a giant hat and move somewhere where I could just work the farms all day. Because that is a lot of work. And while I like raspberries, you got to do a lot of picking to get even a handful of raspberries. And a handful of raspberries isn't going to last you. You know, you throw them all in, and it's like, oh no, I've been picking for an hour and a half. Which is a sad commentary. If it takes you an hour and a half to pick a handful of raspberries, you really need to up your game. You need to get a little bit, maybe do some cardio. But also, apples are nice because I don't have to bend over. So any manual labor I can do standing straight up or on my tiptoes, I'm in. So anyway, we put the kibosh on the raspberry picking. Then there was going to be all different kinds of things. So, and I know this is a conversation that happened all over the area because we get picture-perfect weekends like this so seldom that everybody is trying to figure out what can we do to milk it. You know, last weekend was the Air and Water Show, and the weather was horrible. So now you've got this weekend. All right, what did you do? How did you take advantage of one of the final weekends of summer?
Who, me?
Well, everybody. But we'll get to, yes, we'll start with you. Did you do anything? Or do you, oh, well, you were out of town.
Yeah, I know, right? I picked quite the weekend to be out of town. I was in Rockford Friday, but then I visited some friends in Madison Saturday.
Madison, and, Wisconsin.
And hey, the weather was quite nice up there as well. So we went to their Arboretum and walked around a bit. You know, actually, last weekend I went to the Chicago Botanic Gardens for the first time.
Did you really?
Yeah, you ever been out there?
Yes, I have been to that one.
Yeah.
To the Botanic Gardens. They're gorgeous.
They're beautiful and gigantic.
Let me just say that now I am a member with reciprocal entrance, so I can go there whenever I want.
Whoa.
Yes, because yesterday we went to the Arboretum, to the Morton Arboretum.
Whoa, the Morton Arboretum. Okay, yeah.
You went to the Madison, the Wisconsin Arboretum,
mm-hmm.
but Arboretum is an Arboretum.
So we're all doing the Arboretums.
Well, it was, Debbie said, let's go to the Arboretum. Now, I had only been to the Arboretum once. For their Christmas, when they light the trees and you walk around and it's like 4 degrees and you're like, oh man, I need hot toddy and thicker socks. So that was the only time I'd been to the Arboretum. But listen, I've been married a long time, and sometimes you do what the happy wife, happy life, as Lou Manfredini likes to say. So my wife wanted to go hiking at the Arboretum. I'm like, all right, honey, let's go hiking at the Arboretum. Meanwhile, I'm formulating a second plan. For after the hike, because you got to have a post-hike activity. So we go. How are you at using a map? Are you pretty good at using a map?
I'm okay at using maps.
I pride myself on being fantastic at using a map. Because for years, traveling around this great nation of ours, I used an old atlas. So I know how to read a map. I've hiked through the Smoky Mountains, I've hiked through the Grand Canyon, I've hiked through Starved Rock, many places using a map. I like the Morton Arboretum very much. As I mentioned, now we're members. So they got my money, I'm coming back. But they need to upgrade their map, because the map is hard to read. The little maps they have around the... Because we didn't stay on the paved path, because that's for... You know, sissies.
But that's a thing. We actually had a hard time up in Madison and a little bit at the Chicago Botanic Gardens. They're like, well done, but there's something about...
You can't follow them.
It's really hard to orient yourself.
Yes.
I think that's the thing. You know, in Chicago, what's really nice is a lot of the L stops now have gigantic compasses built into the floor. That's so helpful.
You know, there was a little compass on the map, but it doesn't really, it was very hard to read. And I didn't panic, but at one point I was like, I think we may be lost. and we just kept walking. And then we found a little sign. We're like, oh, well, part of the trouble was we were hunting for trolls. They got those big trolls made out of wood.
Couldn't you just do that on Twitter?
No. Oh, listen. If I want to hunt for trolls, I'll just make an anti-president. I'll make a statement about the president and watch the trolls come rolling in on the text line. I don't have to go hunting for trolls. It's like shooting fish in a barrel if I want to get trolls to come out. There's no problem finding those. But the trolls at the Arboretum, you gotta hunt and you gotta hike. And they're not on the paved path. They're on the... Plus, if you're hiking in nature, you should be on the trails. You know? You'd be in the woods. So we were in the woods. And after about an hour 45 of hiking, we came to the very far eastern edge of the Morton Arboretum, where there's a little visitor center. It's like, all right, good. We're here. Plus... For a woman who wanted to go hiking, we were ill-prepared. You know how much water we had with us? Right. The answer is none. Absolutely no water. Didn't wear my big hat, my big hiking hat, my nature hat. But we found this. So once we were at this visitor center, I was like, all right, here we go. And I found my way, and I was like, let's go back. Then we're almost all the way back, and we get to a point, and there's one of those big... maps that they post out there, but somebody had scratched out the middle section of it, you know, the part where we were, and that was the point where I was like, screw this, I'm never coming back to this place. Subsequently, we did pay for our membership.
Then you became members.
Yeah, then we became members, so obviously I'm going back. But it was, so that was, that's, we were outside, and then we, then of course, because we had walked for almost 3 hours, which... Haha, today Debbie is paying the price for her big hikes. Hello, Roger. You're in, your mic is on. So then I was like, well, I didn't tell her where we were going. We ended up, I wanted to check out Pollyanna Brewing. So, after last at the breweries, one of the beers they brought in was from Pollyanna, and we were out that way, so we went and had a flight, and it was, oh, lovely little place. I hadn't been in historic downtown Lamont. Kudos to you, Lamont, for having that historic district right along the river. Very, very nice. Nice. So that was it. Did you do anything outdoors, Roger? Or did you just sit in your chair and post Facebook posts all day?
That's usually your thing. Well, and take care of Bridget. So, but she's getting a lot better.
Good, good, good.
So she's able to move the arm out a little bit and start doing stuff by herself now. So things are good.
Just so you didn't go outside at all?
Just to come to work.
Oh,
to and from work.
That's right. You're working the overnights.
Yeah, hey, right. So, but still, it was gorgeous day. Every time I'd go outside, it's like, all right, I'm stopping and enjoying it.
Yes.
Look at my phone for the time and go, I got to go to work.
I almost caught myself last night because we were sitting out on the deck and it got a little chilly. I said to Debbie, I'm not complaining.
Right.
I'm just going to walk in and get a long sleeve t-shirt because it's, you know, yeah. I'm a little chilly.
Okay.
But I don't want to put the bad mojo out there.
No.
I want these nights. I need more nights to sit out on the deck.
Yeah.
But it was almost bonfire weather.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Ooh. It's almost, so I've got, you know, my outdoor fireplace that I've had for 25 years. So I'm going to have to fire it up. I don't know the city. I don't know if the city allows you to burn stuff, but I figure I'll have a fire until somebody tells me not to have a fire.
It's one of those little small little fire pit deal.
Yeah,
no problem.
I'm not burning garbage or leaves.
No.
Or roadkill.
As long as you don't light up the neighborhood.
Well, listen.
I mean,
is there a holiday that I missed? Because last night on the eastern edge of or the western edge of Chicago, fireworks were going off like we had just liberated a country.
Well, we're within a week of a 3-day weekend, right? Next weekend,
correct. Next weekend is a Labor Day weekend.
Some people are off a week.
Is that a little early? And are fireworks a traditional Labor Day celebration?
They are now,
I guess.
For some people, fireworks are a traditional everything celebration.
Honest to God, it was insane. Where I was sitting dumbfounded, and I'm racking my brain trying to figure out. I'm looking through, you know, maybe I missed a holiday. Doing all sorts of research. Nothing on the books that said this should have been happening.
Yeah, no.
And yet it was happening.
Was it maybe parents celebrating the first week back to school? The kids were worn out from school?
Or? No.
No?
Well, if you're celebrating that the kids are worn out, what better way to celebrate that than by keeping them awake by blowing everything up?
And so now they're overly tired for school, and they'll just sleep all the time.
Nah.
Who cares?
That wasn't it. I don't think it was that. I had a lot of FOMO this week because I was not able to post a back-to-school picture. Whose timeline was not flooded with back-to-school pictures from everybody? Everybody going back to school. Did you feel any pangs of remorse, Roger, that you weren't
None whatsoever.
Going back to teaching?
Not from being a student going back to school or a teacher going back to school. For a split second, I felt a camaraderie to my fellow teachers, and the moment passed. God bless them. I know what they're going through, and I know the work they have ahead of them. And I praise them, but I'm done. I did my 20 years, and God bless them.
Well, it was funny watching all the parents, you know, the pictures of the kids going. The little kids, those are always fun, the first day of first grade.
Whatever. Where did the holding up signs come from? I mean, seriously.
Because in this day and age, Roger, nothing happens unless it's on social media.
Yeah.
It's got to be there. You have to record every moment. I tried to find a picture, some school pictures, at my mom's house of us, we only have the pictures from, like, the yearbook.
The class picture.
Right.
The class, yeah.
Right. So those were the pictures. I mean, we'd take pictures on vacation and stuff, but we didn't document every moment.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we do have a lot of those for Molly, but back then it was just for us to take them. We didn't.
Right.
There was no social media to really post them on.
Right.
But we had to post them. I had to look for some because we did that WGNRadio.com.
Right, yeah.
If you go there, there's, I guess, some sort of photo gallery of
pictures. Fairly extensive, too.
I'm on there.
Yeah,
it's fairly expensive. I thought we gave all that stuff for free. Do we have a paywall on the website?
No paywall for the photo gallery, folks.
Because if that's the case, I want my cut. Because if my picture's on there and we're getting money, Daddy needs a little cheddar. You know what I'm saying? I can't work for host money alone. I need a secondary stream of income. If they're charging people to gawk at my visage, I better see a little something. Somebody said there's one of the texters that there were fireworks in Villa Park last night. No, it's not the right direction.
Well, you know, there were some weekend concerts in some of the suburbs. They had, like, acts.
These were city fireworks, Roger. Not sponsored by the city,
right,
but fireworks that were happening in the city.
Oh.
And it says, you know, I'm a Chicagoan.
I know you
are. Legit, not just Chicago area.
Right.
I'm legit. You know, I got an alderman.
Now you're
probably corrupt as hell. Like all of them.
There goes your garbage pickup.
Allegedly. No, my alderman is wonderful. I told you. I don't even know who they are, but they've taken care of you. Actually, I have to get a new can. My garbage cans.
Right.
I get the recycling cans are in good shape. The garbage cans are awful.
Really?
And you can't throw. Yeah, the lids are broken. They're cracked.
Call up the guy I told you to call up last time.
Call my guy.
Yeah.
Call my guy.
Call your guy.
Send over a nice little thank you note.
Have a little something from one of the breweries,
sure,
maybe.
I'm not saying. You scratch my back, I get you a new garbage can. I know how it works. I've been in the city long enough. Year 32 of teaching, I have never posed for a first day pic. Good for you. Well, teachers don't really get to.
No.
You know what? That's not true. I saw a bunch of teachers that I know posting, hey, it's our first day of whatever.
Right.
It's the first day of our X year teaching. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, so I saw a lot of teachers doing it too. Again, we all, you know, it's got to be on social media.
Actually, I saw a video. I forgot what the school was. I think it was in Chicago. It might have been a charter school where the teachers paraded past the students. The students were applauding them as they were coming into the room, parading past them, giving them high fives. And I've never seen
some
that
thirsty
before.
Teachers right there. Clap for me. I'm not appreciated. And I love teachers. Teachers, don't send
please.
Me any notes. Why is he denigrating? I'm not.
No.
I'm just saying you don't need the kids to applaud for you. You know what you need to do? You need to go to do the news. That's what you have to do. You have to tell people that after the news, we're going to be talking about slang because that's called, you know, teasing the next thing. All right, here we go. Maybe after the White Sox. Oh, no, I'm not too far from guaranteed rate. It wasn't the White Sox, Rich. Thanks, good one.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. Chicago Stories told 24-7 on 720 WGN Chicago. Hey, smart speaker users, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. The news is sponsored by Porsche Exchange. It is 5 o'clock. Here's Pam Jones. Roger is in the studio, as always. He comes in early. He likes to pretend he's working hard, and then he just comes in here and spouts off for a little bit. Always good to see you.
So, yeah, that was good to see you, too.
Sure, yeah, okay.
I've got my computers are fired up in the other room.
Really? Right.
I've got my first newscast ready to go.
That's not what Pam says, but that's whatever.
Pull her in on this.
Whatever. I listen. Everybody, everybody's going to take a little heat.
Okay.
Everybody's got to take a little heat. So we like to talk about words here on this program. We like word play. We like things like that. I saw this today because if you're of a certain age, you hear some people use different slang terms, and you're like, I have no idea what that is. And then maybe you hear some slang terms, and they really stick in your craw. You do not like them. That shows how old I am. I have a craw, and things get stuck in it. But there was a new study out that talked about the words, slang words that are most popular, slang words that people just do not like. These are would be the least popular, the most annoying. And some numbers that come from this survey, they found that people... How old do you think you should be when you stop using slang? How old is too old to use slang? Cody, I come to you first as the youngest man here.
You can always use slang. You're never too old.
So you're saying ageless.
Ageless. Timeless.
Ageless. All right. So any age. If you heard a 90-year-old woman say she was turnt, would that throw you off?
A 90-year-old?
You said ageless.
Well, I hope she's not getting turnt, but if she's turnt, then she's turnt.
Turnt up.
Who am I to judge?
All right, so you're saying any age.
Yeah.
Roger is the oldest person in the room. How old is too old to use slang?
I will go along with Cody, but I will amend it that the terms that you use should be age appropriate. There are terms you use when you're in high school and college. They change when you're in college, and then they should change once you enter the workforce. so that you could have your own slang amongst your coworkers or amongst your friends that you hang out with. But they should be more age appropriate.
Play your audience.
So when I'm at the assisted living facility,
yes,
and just about on death's door, but I say to my friends as we play canasta, "Hey man, let's get crunk. Is that going to be age appropriate?"
I think Roger's saying play to your audience.
My audience are guys who like to get crunk.
So if
while we're playing canasta,
if your fellow residents at the home, well,
we're playing crunk nasta.
Yeah,
that's what we want to do.
But I don't know if you would say that to them because half of them wouldn't understand,
and the other half wouldn't hear me.
Right,
but that's you know, that's fine. All right. So, well, according to this survey, I think I tend to agree with both of you to an extent because we've all heard people, even people my age. Or Cody's age, use terms, and you're like, dude, you're not a high school girl. That's you're not a Swiftie. You don't need to be. You know, why did I just say Swiftie? That's like for Taylor Swift fans. But I know that. But I shouldn't. Yeah, as a man of a certain age, I shouldn't be using that term. It sounds creepy. Correct.
I didn't even know that term.
Well, see that. But it's my job to keep my thumb on the pulse of America, and then press down really hard with that thumb until America drops dead.
Weird flex, but okay.
Okay.
Well, let me ask you this then. If you were not in the radio business and you said that to Molly, would she roll her eyes at you?
Of course she does. She there's 90% of things I say she doesn't, she rolls her eyes because she's in her 20s and I'm not. And
okay.
I do think there's a point where you should cut back on your use. Just because you know a word doesn't mean you should use a word. You know, it's okay. It's nice if you know it, because then if somebody uses it in your presence and they're putting you down, you know what they're saying. That's good. But you don't always have to use it. According to the people in this survey, they say 43, which is an arbitrary, weird age. 43. When you're 43, no more slang. Got that, thirsty? What? I don't understand that. Don't understand that at all. One in four Americans think people who are over the age of 25 are already too old to use any form of slang. That one in four is he's not a snack. That's a term. That's a slang term.
Sadate.
What is that?
Doesn't matter.
Is that some weird anime thing that you're? Is that a Pikachu reference? What did you just say?
I think that's from a Chris Rock movie, from like the 80s. Sadate, isn't that from Pootie Tang?
Wow,
great movie.
Is it?
Yes.
I know some of the guys who wrote it.
Yes, it is.
Pootie Tang.
Are you kidding? It's such a good movie.
Cody's picked a click. It's Pootie Tang.
Pootie Tang. It's a classic.
Pootie Tang. Yeah.
What?
No, I'm not kidding. I've seen it on. I've
really
because
you just said
advertised.
Pootie Tang.
Pootie Tang, T-A-N-G.
I know Tang. Astronauts love it.
It's a 2001 movie that adapted from a Chris Rock Show sketch. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
Really?
Really funny.
All right.
Very inappropriate.
I don't have time to check that out. I'm binging Mindhunters.
We found something he doesn't know about.
I know.
The tape.
No. I know the movie. I know it was a movie. As I said, I know a couple of the guys who wrote it.
Oh, okay.
27% on Rotten Tomatoes? Really? Really? All right. It's been a while, I'll admit.
Pull up the trailer. See if we can get a little
We
audio.
Cannot air any of that trailer.
Well...
I'll look at it.
I don't know.
The break.
Yeah, see if there's an SFW.
An SFW clip.
Right.
Yeah. I'll see if I can do that.
Safe for work.
There you go.
37% found slang use in the workplace completely unacceptable. I'm not down with that, yo. See what I did there? Threw some slang into the workplace.
You just looked really too old to be saying that.
No, not at all. Come on. Everybody knows I'm straight gravy. It's a slang term I just thought up.
Straight gravy.
Straight gravy. Straight gravy. Means I pour out smooth and I'm tasty. You like that one?
Do you drink straight gravy? Is that a thing drink?
It's how you describe somebody. Man, they're straight gravy.
All right.
Yeah. They're just, man. It's, I
what
make
street
everything,
corner are
I make
you hanging
everything,
out on?
Everything I touch is better.
I don't know.
I'm straight gravy.
I don't think that's going to bring any of the boys to the yard.
Me either. Does that also mean you're salty, a little slow,
lumpy?
Yeah.
Lumpy. I'm peppery. I got it all. You need to whisk me. Just put me in a pan and whisk me up. Mm, I'm straight gravy. All right. We'll see if we'll get it started.
Not appetizing. Just saying. Not appetizing. And I'm gluten-free,
Cody,
so.
Twitter poll. Should straight gravy be a new slang term?
All right.
First of all, gravy is not new.
It means you're smooth and you. Yeah, but who says straight gravy?
Okay, nobody says straight gravy, but that's right, gravy, exactly. Baby. Wasn't it like 1970?
No,
I don't know. 1970s calling.
No, I've never heard that. Gravy.
Come on. No. People always say that's gravy, baby. Come on. Somebody
what?
Hit text in and let him know. I don't know.
I don't know. We'll have to see. No, I don't. I've never heard gravy before. So anyway, Cody is now working as hard as he's ever worked for a Twitter poll. You go to Brian Noonan Show on Twitter and do the Twitter poll.
I don't actually have your Twitter login, so I tweeted it. You'll have to retweet me.
All right, I'll retweet you. That'll be fantastic. Nearly half people surveyed thought it was not as bad to use LOL when emailing a coworker. I just saw a thing that if you use emojis or those kind of things in work emails, they make you look less professional, and people will judge you and look down on you. And you will not be, in fact, straight gravy if you use... I'm going to make this a thing. It's going to be like Clueless, where Cody at one point will go, straight gravy is never going to be a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say... Mm.
A week later, bam.
Boom, straight gravy. There are going to be people with it on their T-shirt.
I know.
This guy is straight
gravy.
You
better copyright that right now.
Already did, right here on the air.
Oh, my gosh.
Brian Noonan, trademark. There is a knowledge gap when it comes to slang. Over half of those polled didn't know the term ghosting had a negative connotation. Roger, do you know what ghosting is?
Yes.
Well, do you? I sure do. Why don't you tell me so I make sure that you know it?
if I'm not mistaken, ghosting is when you call the police. If I'm not mistaken,
you are way mistaken.
Yeah.
The police have nothing to do with ghosting.
It's when you report an incident at some other place.
Ghosting is something else.
Just stop replying to stuff.
Like ghosting is you just disappear.
If I'm on Tinder and we matched and we're chatting and then I'm like, hey, you want to go out? And then they just stop replying. That's ghosting. Or if like you apply.
Then what do you call that? Because that's why I thought it was a bad thing. Was that
it is a bad thing because you cut off all contact.
Well, but
with
it's
someone.
Not as bad as the thing I was thinking of.
So if you call a police SWAT team to go to someone else's place, that's called swatting.
Swatting.
Yeah, that's a thing that streamers
do. I got my ghosting and swatting mixed up. I apologize.
So what, any word with ing you would have said is that?
Yeah.
I said knitting.
Gravying.
Yeah, that's what you call the police.
Hey, gravying.
Quick point of order on the straight gravy. Look, I don't want to be misinterpreted on Twitter because I just said, should straight gravy be a new slang term?
Oh,
and
wait.
Now I'm paranoid someone's going to think this is some like sexual orientation thing with straightness.
How about straight up gravy?
Well, no, straight gravy is fine, but I got to define it. So how do you define straight gravy is?
Straight gravy is being smooth and accentuating everything that you come in contact.
All the positive.
Making everything better. Such as putting gravy on meatloaf makes it better. Gravy on mashed potatoes makes it better. Gravy on biscuits makes it better. You're straight gravy. You make everything better. And you're smooth and tasty. That's right. All right, let's take a quick... What?
I don't know.
Come on.
It just sounds... Never mind.
Is on fleek a compliment or an insult, Roger?
On fleek.
On fleek.
I would say that it's a compliment.
It is a compliment. You are on fleek. That means your outfit is very nice, very good. It shows some flair.
From my time, it would be snazzy. Would it be? Debonair?
Yeah, sure. Not debonair.
Oh,
snazzy.
Okay. Snazzy.
Okay. The cat's pajamas.
Yeah.
Sure, the bee's knees.
Yeah.
All right. 312-981-7200. Your least favorite slang. We will get into that list when we come back on the other side. You don't want to miss it. It's going to be straight gravy. Brian Noonan, 720 WGN. After 5:30, we are going to hear all about the Green Tie Ball, which is coming up September 13th. One of the big, big charitable events in the city. It is always a lot of fun. So we'll talk about that. We're talking about the most annoying slang, according to this new study that came out. Cody is trying to find, he's out running around trying to find our guests. They are somewhere in the building. They may or may not be lost, but Cody will find them. One poll is a marketing research firm, and they have put out this list. So Here's just the top 10 of most commonly used slang, and then we will get into the most hated. So number 10 is fire. And I'm wondering, if you don't know what these are, we will try to describe them. But if you have a slang word that you can't stomach when people use it, go ahead and let us know. So fire is number 10. Gucci is number 9. Keep it 100 is number 8. Goat, 7. Thirsty is number 6. Hangry, number 5. Fam, number 4. Lit is number 3. SMH, number 2. And bay is number 1. Now, most of us have heard some of these terms. Some of us have not. For example, you know, everybody knows bay is before anyone else. It's supposedly, wow, did I just say supposedly? Unbelievable. Supposedly for the person you love the most, they are your bay. We hear it from Beyonce and all of that. Bay is everywhere. It's been around for something. Lit, you know what lit is? When something is turned up or popping, like a party. Party was lit. All right, so those are the most commonly used slangs. Here are the most annoying slang words, according to the people that were surveyed, starting at number 10. SMH, which means shaking my head. So if you see something or you read something and you just can't believe it and you're shaking your head. So SMH means shake your head. Throw shade. Throw shade, which people often think is a direct insult, but it is not. It's the way something is said. So throw shade. Cody, we're doing the most annoying slang, the top 10 most annoying slang.
Apps.
Apps? Oh, sure, for absolutely.
That's no, not for apps, for appetizers.
Oh, that's yours? Apps?
I cannot stand it when people say, oh, let's order some apps.
I hate when people say that they want to talk to their fam. Throw the illy on there. Not that hard.
I agree. You know what? My sister uses it so often when she was in, like, high school
and
college.
I like your sister. See, that's the problem.
No, me too. And when she started using it.
Oh, you like your sister too?
It's because she's been doing it for so long that now I'm used to it.
Okay.
But for the longest time, I was like, why? Just say illy. Family.
And don't say totes. Say totally.
Totes is fine.
No. It's totes annoying.
Man, I've been hardened. I've been battle-hardened by some of this slang.
And I'm not, listen, I understand every generation has their thing, and the laziness factor of not wanting to throw an extra syllable on your words, it seems quicker when you say totes and fam, but you sound ab-stoop. You know what I meant there? Absolutely stupid. That's right. I went ab-stoop on you. So you don't like apps. I'm trying to think if I say it. I see it on the menus all the time. See, that's the problem. It's on menus. Apps.
Yeah, I guess.
And I don't. But yeah, I don't use it. I said, do you want to get something before dinner? I elongate. My slang, much like everything else I do in the show, is elongated.
Sure.
It's not. I don't like to make it shorter.
Sure.
I like to add to it. TFW is number 8. TFW. Hold on.
I know what that is.
What is it?
That face when.
Oh, that face when, right.
Yeah, but that's not slang. That's just, like, I mean, that's not something you say out loud.
Right. Yeah, but people, hashtag didn't used to be something you said out loud either. And now people say hashtag out loud, which is almost as annoying as when they say fam and totes.
Sure.
Stussy. You know what stussy means?
No.
Stussy is a very expensive brand of clothing. And so if you are... If you are saying someone is stussy, they're very high end, very expensive. At least as I did all my research on Urban Dictionary, that's what stussy means. So stussy is number 7. Fleek means that you're on point. That's people are annoyed by that one. Ghost, which we talked about. Gucci, which is another one where it's based on, of course, the Gucci brand of clothing. But when people say it, they tend to be complimenting you. It's good, pretty good. Not as good as stussy. But if you're Gucci, you're okay. You're good. Maybe great. But for the most part, that's it. Number 3 is hangry. We all know hangry because of the wonderful Snickers campaign. It's when you get hungry, you get angry, so you get hangry. Bay, which we've already talked about, that's number 2. And the number 1. Most annoying slang term. Cody, do you know what it is? Can you wager a guess?
OMG?
No. Good guess, but not OMG. GOAT. GOAT. The greatest of all time. GOAT is the number one most, according to this survey, the number one most annoying slang word of all time.
I've never heard anyone say it out loud.
You hear it if you listen to sports stations.
Oh.
Or read sports tweets.
There you go. That's why I don't know about it.
The GOAT hot take is a big one. You know, who's the LeBron is the GOAT. Tiger is the GOAT. Jordan is the GOAT. And people use it for actors and musicians as well. GOAT. So GOAT is the most annoying. We have to take a break, don't we, before we go to the news. So we might as well do that. And then after the news, we will talk all about the green tie ball. So sit tight. If you've been driving around the city over the past couple of decades, and you've looked along the side of the expressway, or you've looked in the medians, and you've seen all the beautiful greenery and the flowers, and you've noticed, hey, there's not as much trash as there used to be. Well, that's because Chicago Gateway Green has been doing all that beautification work for you, for you to enjoy and to make the city look that much better. One of their big fundraisers is coming up Friday, September 13th. It is the Green Tie Ball. This is the 28th annual Green Tie Ball, and joining us is a man who has helped make the green tie ball a little bit more delicious every year. David Listener is here. The food dude, you may have heard David before. David, welcome. Good to see you.
Thank you.
Let's see. We'll get right up on that one. There we go. So you are the man who brings the restaurants in. For those who haven't been to the green tie ball, and people hear about it every year, describe the green tie ball.
I'll give you a quick story about it first.
Yeah.
It was created by a fellow by the name of Don DePorter, who came to build that building right over there, the Hyatt, which is the largest hotel in Chicago with 2,030 rooms. He came in when they were building it to be the manager, and his son was in the car, Grant DePorter, who
everybody knows from the Harry Carey restaurant group, sure.
I call it Chicago's most underrated restaurant because it's great.
It's phenomenal.
Yeah. So he came in and he said, you know, Grant said, you know, Dad, these highways don't look as good as they do in California. I don't want to move here. So Don says, hey, if that's what you think, that's what my customers think. So let's just fix that up. And That's what they did. And that's how we started. And every year, we take thousands of pounds of trash off the highways. We plant flowers. We have an event coming up, which is our Green Tie Ball.
Green Tie Ball.
And the theme this year is I Dream of Greenie, which is sort of a riff off the old I Dream of Genie show.
And that's a thing. Every year there's a different, unique theme.
We
right?
do.
Last year was green eggs and... Green eggs and glam. So every year you've got a different really cool theme. And the venue that you pick tends to amplify that theme, correct?
Well, this year, I'll tell you, it is spot on perfect.
Yeah.
You know, she came out of a genie bottle, which is from the North African area, Egypt, somewhere around there. And so we're going to the Alhambra Palace, which has this Moorish North African design. We're doing some neat stuff this year because we're indoors and outdoors.
Okay.
Upstairs, we're setting up a VIP lounge for poker. If you want to play some high stakes poker, I can see you're already pulling your cash out there.
Sure.
We've got 30-something restaurants coming in. I'll just mention a few of them. We've got Avoli Taverna, which is Lou Canellis, the sports announcer's restaurant. We've got Barton G, which you can describe it as whimsical, fun. All their presentations are just as good to look at as to eat. I won't go too many more. The Harry Carey's, Hugo's Frog Bar, which is the sister restaurant to Gibson Steakhouse. Right. We've got a couple of Asian restaurants, Sunda, Katana, but after 10 o'clock, we switch our culinary gears.
Okay.
So we get a little...
So
you
it
know,
starts at 6:30.
6:30.
People come in and we'll entice them a little. So they buy their ticket. It's open bar. It's all these tastes.
It is big open bar. We have 25 bartenders.
That's what we need. I'd go 26 because Cody's coming this
there
year.
There you go.
So
okay.
You might need an extra bartender.
Good.
So people coming in, they're trying samples from all these wonderful restaurants.
Right.
They're drinking top shelf booze from all over. They're looking good.
They're looking good. They're feeling good. They're doing good things for the city.
Right.
They're helping us clean it up. They're dancing to Dr. Bombay. They're dancing to one of our four discos. And finally, at the end of the night, we're going to have our dream act coming in here. I don't know if you know, but in the past we've had Jon Stewart. We've had the B-52s entertainment. This year it's Pete Wentz, and a lot of people know him
from
as that sexy singer. There you go, for the Fall Out Boys. So, and it all ends up with a blast.
Very nice.
Confetti, and the party hopefully is quite successful.
It always is.
Food always goes on all the time.
So we come in, and everybody's there's also charity gaming from Rivers Casino. So there's
Rivers Casino.
You want to pretend you're a big high roller. You want to gamble a little bit, and you know it's all in good fun to help out.
It's for a good purpose.
The Gateway Green.
You donate a little bit. You win a little bit. Maybe we've got some great prizes, some trips. Things
and
like
who
that.
Doesn't want to gamble when they're in a tuxedo or a lady in a gown? You know, you feel you're like you're ready to roll. And this is one of the premier events in Chicago, right? Every year.
We are the number one black tie gala in the city of Chicago. We've had this event for years at a place which is now gone called Finkelsteel.
Okay.
Northwest Side. We were 100% outdoors. Sometimes we'd have to throw the tents up, you know, because we're serving food. And we would have up to 7,000 people.
That's amazing.
We did it out here at Northerly Island, where the old Midway Airport was. We've done it out there. We had 96 chefs serving food, and we had eight other people, like Garrett's Popcorn and these other, passing out candy and pretzels and popcorn. It was a giant event. You everywhere you'd go, there'd be another entertainer. As you walk in, and I don't know the order they're coming in. I don't want to tell too many of the surprises. But, you know, we've
give
got...
away one. Give away one surprise.
Well, you'll see
wet,
some...
wet people's beaks to go and buy these tickets at gatewaygreen.org. That's where they have to go and they can get their tickets.
Well, you watch some of the videos on there of last year's parties. That'll make your wet whistle wet. but this year we'll have some people doing acts on the silk ropes. Ooh. We'll have some fire dancers. We'll have some belly dancing, all kind of tied in together.
To the theme of I Dream of Greenie.
Yeah, and it's great. We have Barbara Eden, by the way, just to...
Is she coming?
Well, we did try to get her. She is acting now. I don't know if you know, but she lived in Chicago.
I did not know
She was married to Chuck Fagert, who was with the Sun-Times. He was the publisher. And they lived over at the Water Tower, and they owned a club on Oak Street.
Really?
Called Huckleberries.
Okay.
So
it's very cool.
So if I could get some information, I don't know where to buy tickets.
Well, you go to gatewaygreen.org.
Well, you knew that.
I know that. I know it's Friday, September 13th. Let me ask you this, because David Lisner, you're the guy who you curate all these restaurants. You get all these wonderful chefs and restaurants to come into the Green Tie Bar.
A lot of fun.
How do you decide who gets in? Because I'm guessing after this being the 28th year. You know, the word is out. This is the event. This is the social event. You want to see and be seen. You want your restaurant to be part of this. Everybody's talking to you. How do you decide? You're out.
There's no such thing as being out.
Come on.
You know, there are new restaurants that come, and you want to work that way because people are curious. Like Avily that's coming this year, or Barton G, the restaurant who's coming this year. Like I said, we did add what we call the street fair at the end of the show, later on, with the hot dogs and the pizza from Paisano's.
Oh, that's you started to say.
Okay,
so that's at 10 o'clock when the culinary gears change.
We call
it
our street section. I don't know that. If you're coming to the VIP section upstairs where the gaming is.
That's where the hobnobbery happens.
Well, I don't know hobnobbery, but we will be serving lobster pops, which are just ripped chunks of whole Maine lobster.
Wow.
And they'll be grilling steaks fresh right in front of your eyes.
And everybody who's downstairs, all the rest of the
they
people,
they get to smell it.
Oh, they're having lobster upstairs.
Yes.
You know. Now,
so we don't kick anybody.
How tight is security? If I, you know, we try to wander up.
We will actually have 27 security people there.
What'll a five get me? Will it get me into the VIP room?
You know what?
Slip a guy a five?
It'll get you a chance to recycle some of our garbage. But, you know, if
all right, Cody, there goes your bribery plan.
Yeah. Cody, are you coming this year?
Oh, yeah.
Cody,
we're all set. We are definitely going to be there. So, all right. So, at 10 o'clock, you go to the street side, which is, but that's when Pete Wentz and the DJs are going to be going all night.
Yes.
And Dr. Bombay, as you said,
Dr.
is going to be
playing. Dr. Bombay will be done by that. That, by the way, is Lee Golub's band.
Right.
Lee Golub, who's a famous Chicago philanthropist, I'll call him, and a real estate developer. plays drum in the drums for his band, Dr. Bombay.
Very nice.
And he's become our house band.
Okay.
Yes. I like to tease him about it, but, you know, he does it. He's great. He's very generous.
So there again, if people are interested in this, and it does, here are some of the numbers for Chicago Gateway Green. 4,000 trees planted, 130,000 perennials planted, 80,150 bushes planted, over 1 million pounds of litter taken off the greenways of Chicago, making the city look terrific. That's all since 1986. So the Green Tie Ball is to benefit that work. If you like driving around this city and going, oh boy, things look pretty nice, there's a good chance it's because of Chicago Gateway Green. So, if you go to gatewaygreen.org, you can get your tickets. There's regular tickets. And the nice thing is, you guys are limited. There's only 1,000 people there.
Yeah.
It's not like you're going to some Woodstock festival where there's going to be 50,000 people. That doesn't surprise me, Dave. I got to be honest. You're going to be able to get to the bar. You're going to be able to get some of the fantastic food from these restaurants. There's VIP tickets. If you want to go up, I hear there's going to be lobster pops and fresh steak.
Yes,
up there. You know, that's what I hear.
We just let it out today, first time, right here.
And right now, everybody with a regular ticket is like, I got to upgrade.
You get the high roller gambling.
But you will also be able to do gambling down on the main floor, right?
I'm not sure how many gambling tables there'll be.
But there'll be some.
Yes, and just if you advertise 25 bartenders divided by 1,000 people,
mm-hmm.
plus our few VIP was
Cody does
every 40 people, they've got their own bartender.
That's perfect.
We've got premium booze. We've got A-plus food, all 4 and 5 star places. I think it's truly the party of the year.
Well, and the tickets are, for the regular ticket is $150.
Yeah.
Now, some people might go, well, that's a little, but it's not. For everything you're getting an open bar, you're getting food, you're getting entertainment, and your money is going to help a great cause in this city.
You can't compare the cost.
Yeah, you can't beat
it. The cost value isn't there.
It's ridiculous. Plus, you get to dress up. Now, it is a black tie, but a green tie affair.
Yes, yes.
But I have seen people who tend to dress to the theme. That always seemed fun.
I happen to know our new executive director, Michelle Alhambra, is dressing up as Barbara Eden.
Ah.
I Dream of Greenie.
Well, there goes my costume idea.
Yes.
All right, that's out. Cody, find me something new. I'll go as Major Nelson.
Yes, yes. And you'd be very good at him, by the way. the hat and everything, that would be great. Once we're done, just by the way, there's parking as you drive up. There's indoor and outdoor. So if you want to go outside, okay. We've got bars outside.
Perfect.
We've got food serving outside. After 28 years, we've got it pretty perfect.
Yeah. And now I'm guessing the 29th is already in development, right? I mean, people are already coming up with themes. Who is it, the executive board, Grant, and the rest of the board that is in charge of coming up with the new theme? How do you decide?
We have an active group of board members, and we bounce these around to each other when we start thinking about it. Where are we going to go next year?
Okay.
And then maybe, or we'll say, what should we call it? What's the theme?
I was going to say, what comes first, the theme or the venue?
There is no chicken, there is no egg.
Okay.
We just start throwing things at each other, and we do it over lunch, and lucky man wins.
Yeah. Well, when I saw that it was going to be at Alhambra Palace, I was like, that's, as you said, it matches the theme perfectly.
Yeah.
You can't, and I've never been in. I've driven past it a million times. I've never been in there, so it's exciting. Yeah. It looks, I'm always like, what's going on? What goes on in there?
Yeah,
what do they got cooking behind those doors?
They'll be serving food on trays to the people in the VIP section. So you don't have to move.
VIPs don't like to walk. If they want to sit there like sultans and have people feed them grapes, they want to feed, well, lobster pops. That's better than grapes.
They got to move for those.
Do they?
Yeah,
I have a feeling some of them will figure out a way to just have the lobster brought to them.
Well, I think
I've met some of these VIPs before. They're not an ambulatory group.
So how many are coming from WGN this year?
Probably
you
just
know,
us.
Let me just say, I know two of the people that are coming for sure, and that's Rokan and Anna DeVlantis.
Yes, they are the hosts.
They're our hosts, our MCs.
Yes, I forgot all about that.
Yeah, and Ro, and I used to work with Anna. She's the best.
Yeah.
Ro is a great guy, and they have done this for us before.
Very
they
nice.
Keep the action going. They're a lot of fun. They help us with the auction. And they are really generous with their time.
Yeah, they're great. I forgot all about that. So yeah, we got to plug Ro and Anna. Going to be the host. Everything sounds terrific. People still there's some tickets still available, but don't wait too long. Go to gatewaygreen.org because there are only 1,000 tickets for the Green Tie Ball, which is happening September 13th. It is all going to be at Alhambra Palace, which is at 1240 West Randolph. It runs from 6:30 to midnight. After 10 o'clock, of course, we've got the street food. Before that, you've got all these fantastic restaurants, open bar, DJs.
There's all kinds of acts coming in, silk rope dancers, firewalkers.
Pete Wentz.
It's an evening you don't forget.
It's going to be great. So we should go. David, you're in charge. So if anybody has any beef with the food, no pun intended, you're the man to talk to.
I'm telling him to call your producer, Becky.
Yeah, call Cody. He'll take
there
care
you
of
go.
It. So,
hey, thank you.
Thank you so much for coming in. We will hopefully see everybody there. GatewayGreen.org to get your tickets for the 28th Annual Green Tie Ball, Friday, September 13th, Alhambra Palace, 1240 West Randolph. Remember the theme, I Dream of Greeny.
Next time you're driving on the highway and you see those signs, say, hey, I want to support this.
Right. And this is one way to do it. So go and do it. David Listener, thank you very much.
Hey, my pleasure. Good to see you.
Good to see you. All right, let's do this. Then there's more 720 WGN. A little Fall Out Boy. Very nice. Good tie-in, Cody. Yes, Pete Wentz will be at the Green Tie Ball. Will you be there? This is exciting. Cody and I and our lovely brides will be there. So if you want to hobnob with us while we are in tuxedos, etc., and our wives are in gowns. Debbie had to buy a new... Debbie has all these gowns from, like, past galas, from the Hall of Fame at the Heritage Center and stuff, but she decided she had to buy a new gown for this event. Because you never know, we might end up on the society page of the Tribune, Cody. You know, is hanging out with the hoi polloi. Won't that be fun?
I'm very excited.
Did you get a green tie yet?
Not yet.
You have to have a green tie.
Oh, I know.
All right. I debated... about because I saw a lot of guys with the tuxedo wear the long tie, you know, a regular tie, and I debated, but then I thought, well, my brand is bow tie, and I talked to some 23-year-old women, and they were like, you got to stay on brand, and I was like, I don't know what that means, but okay. They said just wear a bow tie because people know you like bow ties.
You know, you really don't have to wear a green tie.
You don't. Well,
I mean, there's photos if you Google just green tie ball photos. There's a lot of guys with black ties. That's
yeah,
fine.
But you know.
Well, you're you. You're right. Festive.
Are you saying you're not going to get a green tie?
I think I will, because I
think you should. Give the spirit of it.
You know what people don't know, unironically?
What do they know? What do they know? Well, people don't know a lot of things.
You are a ridiculously good dresser. It actually upsets me, and I'm not even kidding. Like, when you show up somewhere, you have got style. You've got your bow tie. You've got whatever snazzy jacket. I don't know how you do it. You found, like, a red velvet suit sport coat one time.
Sure, yeah.
I don't even know. I cannot keep up. You legit, like, really, if you see Brian Noonan at this thing, he's going to be... And I know, and I'm not even going to try to compete.
Oh, you know, it's not a competition.
It's not, but I just told Casey, I'm like, you know, I might try to get a green tie, but Brian's going to wear something that it's like, you just show up and you're like, all right, enough.
I do think I found the perfect tie for this particular event.
Of course you did.
Of course I did.
I wouldn't be surprised if you show up in, like, looking like a leprechaun or something.
No, I will confess, I did look into finding a green tuxedo jacket, and I was unable to find one.
This is what I'm talking about.
Because I thought to myself, that would be a buzzing.
Of course
that would be a straight gravy. That's right. I wanted to be straight gravy. But I do, you know, I have a couple things, some accoutrements. I'm already going through which cufflinks will go because I have nothing else to think about except an event that I'm going to in 2 weeks.
Hey, why not?
So,
you
could just wear a black tie if you want. I just, you know, I like to get into the spirit of things. It'd be like going to a Christmas party and not wearing something Christmassy.
Right.
You know?
Or going to a T-Box and not dressing like an elf or a Santa.
Right. What?
12 Bars of Christmas, the bar crawl in Wrigleyville.
I don't know anything about
that. That's a whole thing. We'll talk about it in a few months.
Sure, a few months. We'll get some people in here. We'll talk to them about it. So once again, gatewaygreen.org. Rowan Anna, I feel bad. I forgot that Rowan Anna are the MCs for the evening. That will be a lot of fun. You know, Ro's going to be up in the VIP section. Rowan Anna. We will not be. We'll just be down mingling. So that's fine. I don't need to be in the VIP section. I'm going to slip Ro a little something to bring me down a lobster pop. Which will be hilarious, him pulling some lobster out of his pocket of his tuxedo and giving me lobster coated in lint and Old Jolly Ranchers and chewing gum. I don't know what else Ro carries around in his pocket. I'm guessing like $1,000 bills, something like that. You know, the kind of thing that Ro would have in his pocket. He'll hook me up with that. On the other side of the news, it is a time for our monthly feature at the breweries. Now, we have a very special guest in with us tonight. We will introduce that special guest when John and Jesse come in here on the other side of the news. But first, we must do this on 720 WGN.
At the breweries with Brian Noonan.
Oh, my favorite time of the month is when the boys come in for At the Breweries. Jesse Valenciano from Goose Island, John Carruthers from Revolution Brewing. And you guys have brought a special guest tonight. I will welcome, first of all, to you two.
Thank
and
you.
I will let you introduce our special third At the Breweries expert today.
You said we had no friends and we wanted to show you up.
Well, you know, anybody with a backpack of beer has friends.
True.
That is not, it's not hard to go, hey, look at this. Go, oh, and want to be my friend? Yeah, until that's gone. Sure, I'll be your friend.
I'm done being your friend.
Yeah. Any more beer? No.
Michelle, you know, I'm going to take the easy road and let you introduce yourself. This is a woman who actually needs no introduction.
Oh, I don't know about that.
The audience would like to meet her. So.
No.
Please, panelists, introduce yourself. Sign
Hello.
In, please. Hello.
Hi, my name is Michelle Foyk. I have been in the industry of Chicago beer for almost 20 years.
Wow.
Well, the fun part is
I was going to say, I didn't even think that was a thing 20 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, craft beer has been around for about 30 years ago. I mean, I may not look like I've been around for 20 years.
No, you,
I'm
look,
so glad
you don't even look
radio,
like you're able to drink. John, don't tell her don't tell her that the camera's on.
No.
That's how John found out. So you've been. What do you do?
Well, this is my fun part. Well, right now I'm working. Right now we've opened up Aris Brewery and Cider House.
Oh yes.
Yes, so yes. I am one of the managing partners. My partner,
very cool,
is Katie Pizza. So we're a woman ran brewery in the state of Illinois, which is actually the first one in the state of Illinois. So we're very proud of what we're doing.
Congratulations. Very nice.
Yeah, thank you.
We had you guys in for an event that you
yes,
were
doing. Yes, did.
We did.
I've been on the radio twice in this room. It's been very cool. Yes.
One of your one of your managers came in.
Yes, Vince came in. Oh,
Vince came
that
in,
would
yes.
be three times. Yes, Vince was here, and
Vince
he was talking
here.
About our Charlie Trotter.
Yes, that was it.
Event.
It was the Charlie Trotter yes. event at the Irish American
yes.
Heritage Center. That
exactly,
was
which
it.
Was a great
yes.
event.
Very
it was
nice.
Awesome. We'll be part of the gala this year, too, so we're very excited.
Excellent. Well, welcome. We're glad you're here. We said, you know, not that we're tired of these guys, but it's nice to get some new blood in here and in a different perspective.
Well, I feel like Mama Bear, to be honest with you, because I started with Goose Island in 2000.
Ooh.
I was there for 10 years, and then I opened up Revolution Brewing.
Really?
She's the opening GM.
So you guys owe all your careers to Michelle.
We do,
thank
basically.
You.
Yeah.
I That's love phenomenal. This guy.
That
Brian,
is
thanks
great.
So much.
You're very welcome. Good to have you. And it's nice because I think sometimes we all have a good time talking about it, and people call in, and we do get ladies calling in and asking about it. But sometimes I think, the perception is changing, but the beer industry seems to be very male-dominated. And so it's nice to get to... Listen, women are involved in the craft brew industry, too. There's New Glarus is a female-owned brewery. Aris is a female-owned brewery. So there's a lot of that going. There's a lot of breweries where women are in charge. So
yeah,
it's nice to...
Yeah, absolutely. We've got we've got lots of women that are married and divorced that are owning part of the brewery also and running different things. Our previous brewer was a woman brewer. You got Claudia that brews, and she's over at Spiteful now.
Spiteful. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there's a lot of women entering the field now, finally. And I honestly, that's one of those questions everybody asks me about.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's because, I think you kind of put it right out there, that there wasn't enough interest as women drinking beer. Even though we like to drink it, but the fact that, you know, we can make a career as being a brewer or a career as being an operator is big. But, you know, in the world of beer, you see sales and marketing because that's a woman's role,
sure.
right? But I think you got to look past that.
You're on the street team.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Go pass out some bottle openers.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Please don't say that again. You know how many years I used to do that?
That's how it goes. Well, we're glad you're here. Welcome. There's... a ridiculous amount of beer in here because I know we're getting, we have entered officially my favorite time of year for beer. Once the fall starts to come and we're looking toward the Martins and the Oktoberfest and then the darker beers, even though I know, John, and I did this in tribute to you, I had a barrel-aged stout last week sitting on the deck because beautiful. Seasonal drinking is not, forget seasonal drink. I'm going to drink what I want when I want.
It was a brisk 72-degree day.
It was gorgeous, and I felt I put on a wool sweater and a hat, and I taped on a beard, and I sat and I had a stout. It was exciting. I vaped. It was everything was wonderful.
The all the hipster tropes. Being used.
I had a fire pit going. First of all, anything new in the beer industry, either at Goose or Revolution, or in the industry as a whole that we need to know about?
I think we're starting to enter that fall season. You know, for me, it's always great taste. It's kind of like the last big awesome party.
End of the year party, outside, outdoors, the festivals.
So beautiful. Half Acre just had their Big North party, which is one of my absolute favorite beer parties in Chicago.
Hence the hat.
Yeah. And we just released our lineup for our Oktoberfest party on Milwaukee Avenue.
Saw that. That was a lot of fun.
We didn't hear that Jesse had declared the year over, so...
Oh, wow. The year's done? 2020? Here we come?
It's over.
We were talking about the summer being over, right? Like the big summer thing. Like, you guys are doing Oktoberfest. You're going to bring out the tuba. You're going to bring out the, you know, like...
Are you having any celebrity keg tappers? Because I could swing a hammer. Just saying. Every brewery has. Is there something that when you get into the brewery business, they give you a list of musts? Because every brewery, whether they've been open for 6 months or 60 years, is having an Oktoberfest. Is it just a way to sell overpriced pretzels?
It's a good way to sell beer a liter at a time, whereas most of the year people are a little shy about that.
That's true. It is high. Well, a liter, you know, when you get it in that big glass stein, it's heavy. Hence the, we must have our stein holding contests.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. You know, on Thursday, it was before 5 p.m., and our taproom manager, Aaron, like, I saw him grab three steins and walk out. Because we just got Oktoberfest, and at Goose Island, we're like, oh boy. And it's that time of the year.
It is that time.
But we've got steins already flowing out of there.
And it's an easy answer, I know, for you guys, but it's a question that people have all the time. Like, it's still, you know, mid-August. Why are we seeing Oktoberfest beers now? It's so you can sell them before December, right?
No, yeah, it's because it's the Christmas decorations next to the Halloween candy of the brewing industry.
Yeah, you got to get that Oktoberfest out.
It started, though, when we first started at Goose Island with Oktoberfest, that was actually coming out in September. And then the market is so small. It's September to October.
Right.
And then after October, no one's buying a November, you know, Oktoberfest because it's in November. Now we're looking at something else. So I remember watching Chicago beer companies. All of a sudden, it was the last week of August. Then it was 2 weeks before the third week of August, you know. And all of a sudden, it just starts creeping. And all of a sudden, now we're looking at October 1st or August 1st. And there's Oktoberfest everywhere, you know, because they want August, September, and then possibly finish it all off in November because you're making enough beer for 3 months.
Yeah, and I'm not complaining. I mean, I always look forward to when the Oktoberfest come out.
So it's the distributors asking for it. So, you know, if people weren't seeing that on the shelves and just snatching it up, then, you know, you probably wouldn't see it out there as early.
And everybody's got one. Goose has one. Revolution has one. Does Aris do something?
We just finished brewing our festival beer or fest beer. So ours is called Septemberfest.
Okay.
September Beer Fest. Because we know that in Germany, Oktoberfest is separated in September.
Right.
Yeah. So ours is out, but our Septemberfest party doesn't happen until October 5th.
Okay. Very nice. Well, we'll get into it because I know, since you already brought it up, John, when's Revolution's October?
It is Friday and Saturday, the 27th and 28th of September. So we've got heavy metal one day and a real nice global lineup ending with Parquet Courts on Saturday.
Very nice.
What a great lineup. It really is. It's a great lineup.
Yeah. So you can go to revbrewing.com. You could go to gooseisland.com. And you can go to arischicago.com to get all the information on all these breweries. Before we take a break, what are we going to look at today? What styles are we going to explore?
Start off with brown ales, move on to ESBs or strong bitters, and then we're going over to Martins.
Oh, which...
Tis the season.
Tis the season. All right. More of At the Breweries. Jesse Valenciana, Michelle Foyk, and John Carruthers are here. A new lineup, but your questions always welcome. 312-981-7200. We'll start talking beer after this, 720 WGN. Michelle Foyk is with Aris Brewing and Cider House, ArisChicago.com, GooseIsland.com, RevBrewing.com. There are the websites. We did have one quick question from a texter before we get into brown ales. We were talking off the air about gateway craft beers. Somebody from the 815, have you heard of Pete's Wicked Ale? I've had it about 18 years ago, haven't found it since. Is Pete's, because Pete's, I remember Pete's Wicked, Pete's had made a nice summer ale too, but then Pete's kind of disappeared. Are they not around anymore? What's the deal with them?
Yeah, they're gone.
Yeah, they're no longer around. They're one of the first microbreweries though that came out onto the world outside of Sierra Nevada.
Yeah.
But yeah, they were around. They did a little push, I don't know, couple of years ago trying to get back on the scene, but it never happened. So someone bought the company and then tried to redo it. So no, they've been gone for a while. They're also one of the first brown. Yeah. Oh, 2011. Okay. They're also like one of the first browns that was out there, which I read about today because I would have never guessed Pete's Wicked was a brown ale.
Yeah.
So that really surprised me today. Yeah.
All right, so sorry, 815, Pete's is gone. But
it's a great segue, though.
It is. Absolutely.
To brown ale. All right, so I'll let you guys decide who's going to explain what what sets a brown ale apart from a porter or a stout, because they all kind of look the same.
Oh, no, they don't.
Well, depending on which one you're looking at. Go on. All right. Michelle, coming in hot.
Don't bring that weak stuff to the rim, Brian.
I'm in
the paint.
Not in my house.
Not browns, porters, and stouts. They don't all look the same.
Well, correct.
Dikembe.
You have your reddish browns. You have your brown browns.
Who invited Michelle?
I know, right?
You told us you were sick of us, remember?
What a know-it-all.
Boy. I'm sorry. So
come on, you can't trample on what I thought was my favorite style ever.
This is your thing. I love them. You know? Go ahead.
No, I mean, let's just start out with Newcastle. I mean, it's a traditional brown ale from England. You take a look at that color right there, and you've got a nice, beautiful brown. I mean, it's like a Sienna, like brown almost, but not too red.
Burnt Sienna, that's good stuff.
Thank you, yes.
My favorite crayon.
That one of my favorite browns.
Your kid's favorite color is the brown crayon.
My kid loves brown and beige.
Now, the aroma's not there, though. I don't have much of an aroma on this one. When you start smelling the other two, there's going to be a lot more aroma.
So back to, you said traditional brown ale. What makes a traditional brown ale? What are the aspects of it that makes it a brown ale?
What makes it a brown ale is really the color of the malt.
Okay.
So we're looking at the color of the malt. The malt is a roasted, it could be a roasted barley. It could be roasted malts. It's going to be, I know you guys talked about Schwartz beers. So what a brown is the starting of a Schwartz beer, but then add some caramel malts to it. Add a little bit of red malts, add a little bit of more of a flavor profile that's going to give you a maltier flavor profile, slightly caramel, slightly sweet, but then depending on what kind of dark malt you use, it could also be bitter also.
Okay.
So there's not much hops. So when we don't, brown ales don't bring out a lot of hops. Now, American brown ales, you're going to hop it just like you American stouts, you're going to hop it. But this one's a traditional, easy drinking, mellow, low in ABV, I believe, too.
Yeah.
And I think that scares some people away if they see something darker than if they're used to drinking a pilsner or a lager, they lump all dark in together. Anything that's not golden is dark and scary and heavy and
I agree and I wish we didn't have that perception.
Right.
You know, because these are such amazing beers and they're such amazing flavor profiles. But they're just not very popular right now in the circuit of craft beers.
I do see a lot. A lot of the breweries do have a brown ale.
Have it on tap.
Yeah,
it tends to be something you can put on, and then it doesn't. Other things just sell better. It doesn't become part of your lineup.
Yeah,
you know, in terms of sales, like Michelle was saying, imports. You know, Mexican lagers, the German imports. They've all been really crushing it lately, and the one exception is Newcastle Brown Ale. So they brought production here into Chicago at Lagunitas. They've changed the bottle. It's a brown bottle now. It used to be a clear bottle. They changed the logo. They changed kind of everything about it, I think, except for the flavor. It tastes about what I remember.
Yeah. There's definitely no bitterness on this one. I also feel that, so looking for browns today, I was at a store, and every single brown ale that an Illinois company made had adjuncts.
Really?
So we saw a salty caramel one. I saw a bourbon barrel aged one. We saw a coffee one. But to find an actual American brown ale, the only one I could find was Midwestern. It came from Michigan.
Okay.
You know, and then we found a couple from like Florida and a couple from other places. But even those, there's one that has an oatmeal brown. So it was a little difficult, which It's surprising to me, but like, you know, John said, brew pubs, that was a staple. Like, you went to England and you got a brown ale, you got a mild, ESBs. I mean, yeah. We all have a friend named Will Turner, and Turner loves his ESBs. And okay. He was a brewer at Revolution. Now he's a brewer at Outcry. And, you know, that man used to make so many different ESBs. And we're like, all right, we love the malt, man. Bring it out. But when you look at the large market of things, it just doesn't sell them as well.
All right, so Newcastle is our baseline brown ale. Mm-hmm. After we come back from the news, we will talk about some of the local brown ales. We'll move in. I know you guys have ESBs, and then you said you had, what was the third style?
Märzen.
So we'll do all of that real quick, because since we're talking about beers that are a little darker in color, somebody texted in, what is a Bock beer? So what is a Bock? Because people see Shiner Bock is the most popular. It's a dark looking beer.
They have non-dark Bocks, but generally speaking, what most people know as Bock is a dark, medium strong lager from Einbeck, Germany. Okay. And Bock just means goat. It was the nickname of Einbeck.
Oh, all right, there you go. All right, 708, there is your answer. More at the breweries. Michelle Foyk is here from Aris Brewing and Cider House. Jesse Valenciana is here from Goose Island. And John Carruthers is here from Revolution. We'll take your calls, your questions, and we'll talk more about beer after the news on 720 WGN. We have a new addition to the panel this week. Michelle Foyt from Aris Brewery and Cider House is here, joining John Carruthers from Revolution and Jesse Valenciana from Goose Island. Michelle, so far making a great impression. One, she busted my chops. Two, she brought in a lot of beer. Three, she is handling the brown ale section of the program. So we started out, Newcastle was our baseline. In that, is that because they're the OG? They've been around the longest. They're the first brown ale, or...
It could be that, but they're not the first brown ale. Samuel Smith has been one of the first brown ales out like in 1700s. But Newcastle was my baby. You know, when I was a kid growing up, Newcastle That's was like, one. I was drinking brown before anybody was drinking brown, you know, and like, wow.
You're
right?
Like Barbara Mandrell, you were country when country wasn't cool.
Exactly. Exactly. Nice. I used to watch that show. So anyway,
what are these love references?
Wow, you guys are not that young. You're not that young. All right, but no, let's get to this. So in Illinois, I looked for a regular brown ale, and I couldn't find one. I found, but we did find two that I really thought were awesome, and one was by Ailman, and the other one was by Buckle Down. We are opening up the Ailman, and it's their Soul Man. So this is their brown ale with a salty caramel.
Yes, you can taste it, the salty, little bit of saltiness in there.
And the cool thing is you mix this with their cheddar brown ale, and it's a Chicago mix.
Oh, wow.
You are done. You are done here. Wow.
Was it the delivery, or was that? I thought that was a good bit.
I wasn't going to go with everything you said was wrong.
I wish I would have known about that beforehand.
Did you write it down first?
They can't all be home runs.
Improv isn't for everybody.
Yes.
Go to any improv show in the world, and you realize improv is not for everybody. But good try.
Yeah. Maybe he's just trying to get sponsors for this show. I mean, let's give him some credit.
Listen, I also have a visceral reaction because I think Chicago mix is a sin against God and popcorn.
I agree.
So I am not...
God and popcorn, God the two popcorn. Great rulers of Brian's.
I've got carrots on the phone. They're dropping their multimillion-dollar advertising.
I love their caramel corn, but why taint it with cheddar? But that's a different show. That's our At the Poppers.
Chicago.
That's At the Poppers, which is also once a month. And a whole that's different a
show. Oh, I want to be on that show, too, please. Can I get on that show? I am cheese beyond cheese.
We actually don't do At the Poppers on the air. That we do, you know, down in the alley.
Yeah. Got it.
So, okay. So,
all right. The last one that we brought today was something
that's
John brought
how
out.
Do it.
Here's the way we do it. All right, seriously.
I had to reaffirm my dominance after Michelle took me down 8 pegs earlier. I was going to come back 7, hard. But
all this delight after that joke that didn't come directly from it, come on. That was a good bit.
Wait,
There's a lot of laughing going on.
All right, so we have Ailman. And Garrett's right. back in.
Yes, exactly, right?
Known for their beer. Perfect sponsor for this segment. All right, so Ailman's brown ale.
Correct. And then
it's Soul Man, right?
Is it's Soul Man, yes. Soul Man. It's their Soul Man. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Very nice.
So it's awesome, salted caramel. And then we went, so I couldn't find a regular brown, like I said. So I talked to John about it, and John's like, I'll get you one. And so he did. And he walked in, and he's like, here, Alter Brewing. It's an American brown. And I'm like, yeah, but it's barrel age. So once again, we have another adjunct. But I think you're all going to love this one. The aroma on this is amazing. So give it a smell.
I did like it. I already drank it. I couldn't wait.
You're okay. I understand that.
You put them in front of me.
Very boozy.
So the thing about salted caramel in beer.
Yes.
Are we going back to this?
No.
That one's over, John.
If you make a saltwater taffy joke, I'm coming right over the comments.
This is what I have to put
up. Dude, I'm from Wisconsin Dells. Saltwater taffy is my thing. Sure. Let's talk about it again.
Yeah, that Tommy Bartlett should make a beer.
He's gone. He's gone. He's underground 6 feet. Sorry. He really is.
What
he passed away a long time ago.
For a fact, Tommy Bartlett
no, he doesn't own the Ducks. He owns Tommy Bartlett Watershed.
Well, who owns the Ducks? I thought he.
I'll be honest with you.
Too.
My friend Jenny Kavinsky, her husband owns the Ducks.
Really?
I kid you not. The the Wisconsin original Ducks. Yes.
Wow.
Who owns?
Anytime
Tommy
you guys
want to
go on those Ducks, I'll get you on.
I don't know. No.
This is too much radio for 1 hour.
There's a lot. We're covering a lot of topics.
I never want to go on
those Ducks. Let's bring it back down. Let's focus it back in.
ESBs, guys.
So
ESBs?
This is Alter. No, this is Alter Barrel Age.
Correct. It's the Reverend Brown by Alter.
So we've talked about barrel age stuff before, and usually those are stouts. Is there a beer, because I've had a couple here and there, that don't benefit from the barrel aging?
Are you talking about bourbon barrels? Is that what you mean? Because there's other ones.
Well, there are bourbon barrels and whiskey barrels in general. There's some beers, I've had some that people have tried to barrel age. They weren't good, and by themselves, they were actually very good. So what's the, other than the novelty, is there a purpose for bourbon barrel aging this?
Well, bourbon barrel, you're getting
bourbon,
the bourbon.
Brown ale,
yeah. Right. For a brown ale, yeah. You got the same qualities, well. You've got a lighter quality of what a stout is. You still have the brown malts. So that's still that malty aspect of things. That's why people put that into barrels, because they still have that nice caramel rich toastiness that the bourbon can do. Sometimes, not in this case, but sometimes bourbon will overtake that beer.
Right.
A brown ale could be lost in the bourbon barrel.
Okay.
You know, and the only way to really fix that is you blend it again with the original beer and just don't come all out of the barrel.
Okay.
So that's all technical stuff that a good brewer should know.
I think this one's nice. This got a raisiny, tobacco-y kind
Absolutely.
Of thing. It's like an elevated version of a brown. It's really nice.
Works very well. All right, so ESB, which stands for?
So actually, this is a strong bitter. So there's English bitters, just three of them. It's ordinary, best bitter, and strong bitter. ESB is it's trademarked by Fuller's.
Okay.
Which stands for extra special bitter.
And what separates the three levels of bitter?
It's
alcohol.
Oh, is that right?
They're all, so like an ordinary bitter is what, you know, you can drink all day in an English pub, and it goes up. With ESB, the ABV is like between 4.5 to 6.5.
Okay.
So, you know, it's the stronger one, but it's really not strong, per se. I don't think it is.
We've had an intervention for you. So
we did. This is an intervention, actually. Welcome to the intervention.
Yeah, wow. Okay.
Thanks for bringing as much as you did.
All right. Sounds good.
We need to intervene.
Jesse's figured out the mics are fake. Abort. Abort.
Is my mom coming?
No. Jesse, we are all here and we love you.
HR will be here in a minute.
Unfold.
I'm out of here. Okay. So
yes.
The first beer, the standard, is obviously Fuller's ESB, because it's the damn name, right? ESB. So
they do. Fuller's does a lot of different beers in England. They're all very good.
They do amazing beer. I really like their porter. That's one of my favorites. Yeah.
So, I agree with you. Yeah.
Good English beers. I think it's like the standard of English beers, I feel, is Fuller's. Yeah. So an ESB, it's really nice coppery hue to it. On the nose, you should smell like lightly toasted bread. And then I know it says bitter in the name, but these beers I never found
bitter. I was going to say,
I'm not
tasting bitterness.
So, you know, we're talking about
only the
brown ales
the
and ESBs not being the sexiest beers. Well, like, imagine being in a bitter beer. Like, this is an English bitter. People are like, I don't want something bitter, right?
Right,
so, like, even the name, it's like,
well, it's kind of a branding problem, which is English, anything you consume. They call bacon rashers, which is the most disgusting name.
Right, yeah.
Literally, the English make delicious everything, and they name it like they're trying to get you not to have it.
Let's have some bangers.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Well, it's like the complete
opposite. See, I would have a banger.
Well, sure.
You know, think about it.
Hold on.
Well, I'm sorry. Cody, I meant the sausage, guys. I meant the sausage.
Cody, turn the lights down. We're going to think about bangers. So, okay. So, it's not bitter.
No.
It's...
I mean, it's lightly hopped, right? But it's, again, just like the brown ale, bitters are more driven by the malts.
Yeah, I'm getting a lot more malt than I am
even
hops.
We live in the United States of pale ale right now, so like our palates are definitely don't like
USPA?
Consider this something to bitter. Yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't know there was a change. Cool. I like
it. Yes, and?
Hold on.
Oh, this is a good bit. This is a good bit. Caramel corn was bad, but this is good.
It's getting better.
Is it?
I don't think so, but anyway.
Just like my parents arguing, it'll get better. No, I'm just kidding. Whoa, that was terrible.
Whoa,
that was
wow, dark, man.
I'm a child of divorce, adult divorce.
I think we're doing beer bitter, sorry, not life bitter.
There we go.
Can we please?
I'm not crying. My eyes are sweaty. I'm sorry.
Wow, it is dusty in here.
God, those two Christmases are great, though.
That explains all
I'm
the
tats. I'm crying from laughing.
That's explained.
So ESB, this is my baseline, or Fuller's is my baseline ESB. That's a standard. Really nice color, light and coppery, nice sweetness. It's like a caramel ribbon. I really, really love this beer.
And I'm glad you brought it, because had I seen that name, I would have avoided it at all costs.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we've talked plenty of my disdain for sours. It's
he does not like them.
Straight
up, it really messes with what we can bring on the show.
Wow, I guess so.
No, I've tried all of them. Every time somebody I'm with has a sour, try this. Okay, thinking this will be the sour that I like. I have no.
The fate. You think it was Socrates drinking hemlock?
Yeah, like what are you looking for in a sour that
Nothing.
You want to like?
I don't like sours.
But if you had to have a sour, if you think it's going to be one that you like, what are you looking for?
I'm just
the strawberry, the raspberry, the guava.
To have an open mind. And I want to, you know.
Apparently it's closed.
It's like a trigger for him.
No, I keep trying to open, and then every time I sip it, I'm like, no, I still don't like it. So, I put on my long red tie and lay on the floor and pout. Try to buy a continent. Anyway.
You should run for office.
I should.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right. So, but now we have, Fuller's is the baseline ESB. What do we have?
Locally, since we can't bring our own beer, I would have brought in Hawkers. And John yelled at me, and I abide by the rules.
That's the one rule.
But you really plugged it well. I like that.
Yeah.
I would have brought Hawkers with me.
So you have two cases of Revolution over there. Hey, this is a radio. They don't know what's up there.
So,
hey, we're making a Marzen.
One of my favorite ESBs locally. So, and again, ESB, let me take a couple steps back. A lot of these get made in tap rooms, but you don't really see them packaged much. But Temperance up in Evanston actually packages theirs.
Okay.
And it's called Smittytown. And it's a fantastic beer. One of the best beers I have with Indian food. But anyway.
Really?
Plug very for good Temperance point. In general. Great people, great beer.
Yes,
great
very
people,
much so.
Great beer. Big fans of the show.
Let's not.
So, It's coppery, but it's a little bit lighter than our Fuller's. On the nose, you should be getting the same, you know, lightly toasted.
Ooh.
Isn't that good? That is good.
A little hoppier than the Fuller's.
Yeah.
A little bit hoppier.
It's a little bit more bitter.
Not overwhelming. If you don't really like a lot of hop, you can still drink this and go, oh, yeah.
It's Americanized.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Everything America does is add hops. I mean, you take a look, right? You know,
for real.
The best brown ale from Michigan is an American brown ale, which is a hopped ale. You know, Revolution did a rise. At one point in time. That was one of my favorites.
That's a callback.
I know. Thank you. An American stout. Like, American stouts have that huge, like, hop, but also that maltiness.
Barley wines. That's, like, one of my favorite examples. Like, you have an English barley wine, which I adore. English barley wines are nice, big, sweet. And American barley wines are like, bow!
Yep. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
That's my cousin house. Bow!
We got to bring an unaged American barley wine on next time and, like, just be like, well, it's like a pine sol kind of thing.
Yeah.
Right, so, but, we're gonna take a quick break, but go ahead and finish up with this ESB.
ESB, Temperance, I think it's a great example, just slightly hoppier than an ESB, but the first time I had this beer was with the curry dish, and it was one of the most divine flavor experience I've ever had. So,
fantastic.
All right, and since you brought it up, and I actually, I am the arbiter of all. What's the name of Revolution's ESB? Or Goose's ESB?
We have Hawkers Ale, which was...
Hawkers is an ESB?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
All the Hawkers I've had in my time.
Now you know.
That's because they couldn't market it. Once again, it goes back to the idea that if we told people it was an ESB, there's no way anyone would drink it.
Nobody's drinking it.
I don't want a beer.
But Hawkers Ale, everyone's just like, what is it? They're like, oh, it's a...
It's a Hawker style.
It's a Hawker style. That's not what we said.
It's a style.
Somebody from the sixth rail backing me up. I've tried sours until my eyes bleed. Don't like them.
I think that there's something wrong with those sours with the eye bleedy.
Maybe it's a wrong sour. Maybe it's too sour.
All these texts, by the way. Thank you, Radio Land.
Yeah, I think it's great.
312-981-7200 if you have a question for either Michelle Foyk, Jesse Valenciano, John Carruthers. It is at the breweries. We're going to go into...
We're going to get into Märzen's next.
Märzen's
the season.
Oh, very exciting. Cody's bump music getting a lot of thumbs up today on At the Breweries.
Not for me.
Wow.
Just kidding. It's a medium.
Not a 311 fan or what? Wow.
We are going to
311. Excuse me. 311. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Guys, we got to talk about my beard. We're going to finish everything up on Facebook Live when we go to the news at 7 o'clock. But John Carruthers from Revolution Brewing is here. Jesse Valenciana from Goose Island is here. And Michelle Foyk from Aris Brewery and Cider House is here joining the crew. So far, what do you think? Are you having fun? Are you feeling...
Oh, I'm having a lot of fun. Good. No, this is so much fun. I enjoy it.
It's a different
sound like you're saying that against your will.
Yeah. Cody, put the gun down.
I know, right? I was like, okay, slow down.
This is not a hostage situation. All right, so we have had brown ales. Uh-oh. We have had ESBs. We have had... brown ales, ESBs, and now we are going to have...
Märzen. So this is the traditional Oktoberfest beer. Sorry, I'm stepping all over you here. I know you like to throw back and forth. This is a traditional Oktoberfest beer in Germany. Caramely. Well, I'm trying to get it in before the news, man.
I understand. We got a few minutes.
Keep going.
Relax.
Look, I'm a naturally skittish person. Michelle spilled. It's a very...
Did you have to bring that up?
Yeah, really? Hello? Fast forward to a memo tomorrow. No, that you're in the studio.
I'm just sitting here quiet. Liquid.
This is the classic German Oktoberfest.
Why did you narc? Just because we didn't like your stupid Chicago popcorn joke?
Why is it that we brought one extra guest?
That's great.
Really?
Why did you narc, man?
Why did you have to tell everybody what I did?
Really?
What are you, Brasco?
Relax.
Didn't we used to drink beer on this show?
Who
cares about your beer right now?
We used to have fun until you started narking.
Märzen here is known as Oktoberfest because everybody says, I want an Oktoberfest beer. Right. But the style is
It's kind Märzen. Of a dark lager, an amber, the coppery color. This is called Märzen, which is the name for March. So this used to be brewed in March and stored in cool places all the way until the festival in October and then later September. No, caves in Bavaria. So it'd be March and it'd be the March beer and it would come out in October or later September.
And it's very malt forward.
Mm-hmm. So this is not Germany Oktoberfest beers, which we will cover next month, are a little lighter, pre-sale. A little closer to your like Helles, your lagers, your Pilsner. This is a little OG thing, but most American brewers, when they do an Oktoberfest, not all, but most like to do like a Märzen kind of beer.
Okay, and so if you're trying to do an Oktoberfest, and I know a lot of brewers try to at least stay somewhat close to the original. So if you're doing an Oktoberfest, why make the change to this?
Well, because that lighter color thing has been around since like 1992 is the official beer of Oktoberfest. Yeah. And the Märzen was the thing from like the beginning of the festival.
Märzen is the way to go. Way, okay. Yeah. That's fantastic. And it's one of my favorites. When Oktoberfest beers come out, I am in heaven. I just love them. And there's very few that I've had in a most of them I go, this is pretty good.
It really is. It's a Little Caesar situation, or even like the bad ones. You're like, there's some charming stuff in here.
Exactly.
Märzen.
Charming.
So tell us again your baseline.
This baseline is Brauerei Eyinger. So I guess, I don't know where they're located in Germany. This might be an official Oktoberfest location beer. But this is a classic German Märzen.
Now, should we have a brat with this or some pretzels?
Yeah, so it's got that little toasty flavor. Yeah. You got a grilled sausage with like a toasted bun, some sauerkraut, some beer bath onions. It is going to be aces.
I mean, I would cook with this one. I put the beer, I put the brat right into the beer while it's warming up. Yep.
You guys are going to talk food next time. Bring some.
Jeez. Salt that beer.
I would gladly do that.
Yes. Yeah, if we're doing Oktoberfest beers next time, or German Oktoberfest beers, we'll figure something out.
Josh, we'll try to
find.
This week.
Let's see if we can find somebody, a local restaurant who is doing an Oktoberfest who would like to come in.
I think all three of us make food.
Yeah.
Our pubs, by the way.
Don't send them a clip of the show. They'd be like, you guys just talk about caramel corn and who spilled stuff.
Well, no, Aris. I know Aris has popcorn. A full kitchen. I've never been to Revolution's tap room. Only the brewery.
How dare you?
I've been to the brewery a lot.
Brew pub, by the way, is one with the kitchen.
Well, yes. I haven't been to the brew pub.
I know. Oh, I know. Man. Come, let's go.
I go just to drink
beer. Lunch.
You never invite me.
You never invited him? You guys have been doing this for almost 2 years, and you guys never invited Brian?
I always invite Brian.
I'm hard to... I don't let people in.
Well, Jesse, it's not working.
Your eyes send me a different message. Let's take a quick break.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, geez.
And then we're going to continue. After the news, we're going to continue Facebook Live. So go to the Brian Noonan Show page on Facebook Live. We will talk about the local Märzen.
Great local Märzen.
Local Märzen. You don't want to miss it. If this is the time of year, if you're putting on your lederhosen, if you're grilling up your bratwurst, if you're saying to yourself, I need a beer to accompany this, we will talk about that. We'll wrap things up. John has a big thing he needs to plug. He's going to be out with hot dogs and all sorts of things. So we've got that to talk about. We'll do all of that. And are we going to talk? I saw Karen pop her head in. Is she going to come in and say hello? We hope so. All right, because John has a special treat for Karen. All right, let's do this. Then we'll say hi to Karen.
Who's
it's 720
now?
WGN. All right, we are going to go on Facebook Live during the news to wrap things up because John has brought in Marzen, the Oktoberfest beer. That is his style. Thank you again to Michelle Foyk from Aris Brewery and Cider House, Jesse Valenciano from Goose Island Brewing, and John Carruthers from Revolution Brewing. We're going to continue this afterwards, but first we must say hello to Karen Conti, who has come in and just looked at us and shook her head and said,
well,
what is,
you know,
what has happened?
If this were a painting, I would call it 100 bottles of beer on the wall.
Still life with alcoholics.
Exactly.
So yes, we have a lot. Michelle came in trying to shame the boys.
Which
she did. She brought in a lot of different styles. She came in big. She came in ready to go. She's a wonderful addition to the panel. And these two are just sitting here. John's trying to come up with caramel corn jokes. Not working.
That was so good.
Yes. And Karen, I don't know if you heard, they both kind of owe their career to Michelle because she has been in the craft beer industry for over 20 years.
Give it to a woman to lead the way.
And then these guys follow with their baseball caps
and beards. We need a fearless leader. We've got one.
We do.
At least you guys know your place.
I was there for you all. Thank you.
Always.
So what's going? I'm not having as much fun as you.
I can't even make anything up.
You'll have a wonderful time.
Fourth panelist.
Sure.
Ooh.
Yeah. Karen is always welcome. You're always welcome to come in early and sample.
I should.
But then I don't know how reliable your legal advice will be down the road.
And you can't.
And I'll tell you another thing. You tell that son of a to just go and blah blah blah.
An imbibing lawyer. My stars.
Roger Badish will be answering questions, and we're all in trouble.
You know what?
Sorry, Roger. Sorry.
Tell the judge that you know what's under his robes. So what's coming up on the big show tonight?
This is like really boring. I'm just embarrassed. I feel like making something up. No,
it's never boring.
Panhandling. They're bringing a lawsuit saying that the panhandling laws should not restrict people from begging all over the place. And I know people have very strong opinions about panhandlers, but there's constitutional rights that they have. So we're going to touch on that. Yeah, they do.
So the guys on the top of the exit, the ramps and stuff, they
yes, they do.
Constitutionally protected?
I mean, the Girl Scouts can sell their stuff. People can stand up there for Greenpeace, and homeless people can beg. I mean, there are some restrictions, and the question is, why do we have constitutional rights for people to beg? And that's going to be an interesting little conversation. And then I have Jeffrey Sumber, who wrote a book called Renewing Your Wows, and he talks about how couples talk to each other, and they really aren't very nice to each other after a certain number of years. And so this is a way to kind of rewind that and sort of talk in a way that kind of respects your relationships and makes it better. And he's also going to be talking about the dating apps and how this is causing a lot of problems with people, as you probably know. Because it's kind of a difficult way to meet people.
All right, what time is that segment?
That segment is at 7:30.
Good, because I've been married a long time. We just talk with grunts and hand signals. So it's, after 27 years, really, what do we have to say? We've talked enough.
You guys are so nice to each other.
Your wife is delightful.
My wife is delightful.
She is. And tolerant.
Yes, extremely. I don't know what the hell she's doing with me, quite frankly.
Doing you a favor.
Anyway, yeah, but at some point, don't favors get, you go, enough with the favor.
Actually, you'd want the favor back, right?
Yeah. I keep going, oh, don't worry. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. All right, Karen Conti coming your way on the other side of the news. Always good to see you. Feel free. You're welcome to... take a little something with you. Chicago, we're going to Facebook Live, so join us there. Chicago Stories Told 24/7 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. All right, hi, Facebook Live. Brian Noonan, this is our continuation of At the Breweries after the show is over. So it's after. Now, we must welcome our newest panel member, Michelle Foyk. She is from Aris Brewery and Cider House in Chicago. You know Jesse and John, Valenciana, John Carruthers, Revolution, Goose Island, and Aris. So we have been talking about a variety of different things today. Yes. Michelle got us with brown ale, Jesse got us with ESBs, and John has started us on
the Märzen.
The Märzen, or as the layman like to call it, the Oktoberfest beer.
Mm-hmm.
When you put on your bad lederhosen from Party City and you go and try to hold a stein out as long as you can.
Yeah, careful. That Party City later hose, and you get a rash. They're not advertising, are they?
You cannot do those.
Is this a normal thing when they appoint a special prosecutor? It's done pro bono?
Do not rent your later hosen.
Okay.
Well, because they're suede, and I got to figure it's hard to clean out that undercarriage.
Telling you for a friend.
I didn't know there was cheese in this brat.
Oh, no, it gets worse. We're not even going to go there.
All right.
You didn't record that, did you?
So
he hit someone who later died.
John, tell us again what the baseline Martzen was.
This is the Anger Brewery Oktoberfest Martzen. This brewery is just the classic standard bearer for so many German styles. Mm-hmm. Like we had discussed on the radio, the official German Oktoberfest beer became something lighter, easier drinking, a little fizzier in the 90s. This is still the old school classic, and they do a great job
of
it. It's a great beer. It's a great beer. That's a great brewery.
And these are all, you can find these anywhere, right?
Yeah. I mean, this is $2-3 at Binny's.
Like a Binny's.
Okay.
You'll see that a lot of places don't carry imports because they don't move as much, but Binny's is a little bit more dedicated to carrying.
And that's changed over the years because U.S. craft beer has gotten so good and so plentiful.
I don't know about good, but plentiful, yes.
You don't know about good?
Wow. JK,
where are you coming from all of a sudden?
Oh, my Lord.
Like, you're making no sense right now.
This is going to be exciting tomorrow when Goose Island posts a job.
Yeah, no kidding.
That'll be terrific.
I was kidding. Sheesh. Man.
All right, so.
What crowd is this?
It's a tough crowd.
That is a tough crowd.
Listen, Colin Quinn. Go ahead. So what do we have next? What's our other...
So this is from Miskatonic Brewing. I do believe this is the first Miskatonic beer we've had on the show.
It is.
Oh, wow.
It's
some nice stuff. Awesome.
It is in Darien, Illinois. Mm-hmm. It's my favorite brewery inspired by otherworldly Lovecraftian horrors. And they have this Märzen.
Wow. I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, but go ahead. You fall into a wiki wormhole, you'll get
right.
There.
Right. It seems like the case ended like three different times and then reopened again and then ended again. So how much time should we give him to finish his investigation, do you think?
One of the legends, right? It's a folklore. Yeah. That symbol comes from a folklore. I can't remember what it was.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
neither can any of us. None of us can.
Sorry, no, it's all,
I know. I'm sorry, John. John W. Really I'm sorry.
Their entire thing is based off like the H.P. Lovecraft.
There you go.
Miskatonic is a university. It's a fake Ivy League university in the H.P. Lovecraft kind of mythos and universe.
We do know what it's all about.
Lovecraft, the man, the author, was a problematic figure, but the idea of this horrifying, sublime, otherworldly evil is something that has lived on until present day. I was excited to enjoy it as a beer because who doesn't like it as a beer?
Back off, ladies, he's taken.
Big time.
Yeah. By the end, we should have a final definitive answer. Okay,
but this is
excellent.
Seriously,
the beer, this is at the breweries, not at the John Presents a big old dork.
Paid enough, he's paid enough for that one bad joke.
Oh, man, you add one more person and suddenly there's a totem pole and I'm at the bottom of it.
I just want to know how I get paid more for a bad joke. I mean, come on.
All right.
Do I even talk?
Miskatonic. Do you what?
Do I need to talk into this thing right now?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yes. Just making sure.
Just no headphones. Microphone, yes.
We podcast. Yeah. So, honestly, I do love Miskatonic. In this one, I get a lot less of that roasted malt character. I get a little bit less effervescence, a little bit thinner.
Thinner is a good way to describe it.
I think a big reason people enjoy the Oktoberfest is it really speaks to like sort of the bounty of late harvest and fall, and it's kind of a generous beer in flavor. It's very interesting on the palate. This one does not quite hit the same heights as our classic German example to me.
I think it's a session Martzen, actually. That's why.
Oh, really?
I'm making it up.
I was going to say that's actually not a bad idea, but calling it a session IPA.
How about the opposite? This one's 6.2.
Really? So that's a higher ABV than the other ones.
Yeah, and that might be what's throwing a little bit off balance. But, whatever. They took their chance, and I love the logo. So, that gets a lot of people to buy for the first time.
It got me to buy a couple beers because I looked at the can and I went, that looks very interesting. Let me try that.
Pop quiz. Do you guys know what famous Chicago pizza has their location in Darien, Illinois?
Home Run Inn?
Yeah.
Wow.
Nice. Wow, John. I knew I liked you.
Damn.
I am a man of many tastes.
cheese.
All right, so let's go back through and talk about our different ales and let our experts vote. So, Michelle, give us our baseline of the brown ale.
All right, the baseline was Newcastle. Brown ale, that was the baseline.
The OG.
We started out that. Yep, the OG from England. And then we went into two separate ones. We went into the Ailman, and we went to Altar. And, I mean, if we're talking about brown ales in general, I have to give a thumbs up to Newcastle because it's the original, in a sense, and had every quality that I wanted to have. Not dissing on the other two breweries at all, but they're both adjuncts. You know, this one's a barrel aged, and this one had caramel, a salted caramel flavor profile, both amazing and beautiful. But if we're talking about our beer and we're talking about brown ales, Newcastle one.
Stay with the original.
Stay with the original.
Jesse?
Two caramels were walking down the street. One was assaulted.
Wow. Good night, everybody. That was good.
I think me or my loved ones may be entitled to financial compensation from that joke.
Wow.
Jesus, Jesse.
Cody, I'm going to sit over here.
I am...
Hey, guys, where are you guys going? Wait, guys, come back.
I am in the same boat as Michelle. Newcastle was the thing that made me think, oh, beer isn't just light and fizzy and anonymous. This can have something you're interested in.
Absolutely.
Yeah. One of my favorites. I'm still giving the thumbs up to that Altar. I love the way it elevates the brown ale flavor profile in a very interesting new way.
Altar barrel aged. And again, what kind of barrel was that aged in?
Bourbon barrel.
Bourbon barrel.
Yeah.
I liked both of them, obviously. Everybody knows that.
Sure, because they gave you a great joke.
Oh, no, your joke counted as the rating.
You better, yeah.
John, hush up over there. Newcastle was, I've always said this, it was one of my gateway beers, so I have a lot of love for that beer. I really did like the Altar Brewing, but it just wasn't to style. So I'm going to give my thumbs up to Newcastle. I would totally recommend people try the Altar Brewing Brown Ale. I thought it was really tasty. It was really boozy on the nose, which kind of scared me going in, but... I don't feel like any of the flavors were trampled over by the barrel character. So, good job, Altar Brewing. God. But
very nice.
Newcastle, still love you, man.
Yeah.
It's the one.
Hey, that bottle was so good.
The what?
The bottle. That one. The brown.
This
the
Altar?
Yes. It's very good. Yeah. No, it's awesome. The beer is amazing. Yeah. Beer?
You're on now. You're on the Altar Brewing.
I am all over that one. All right, Cody. I give it a thumbs up.
Cody jumping in.
Wow, very it really nice. Did. That's crazy.
It left an impact. I had a couple sips. I was like, dude, this is a really good beer.
Hey, Cody, have you seen their t-shirts?
No.
Do you know what they call them?
What do they call them?
Altar tops.
Wow, I just, nobody gave me the memo that I'm going to be supposed to be doing this.
Did you drive him in on your bike without a helmet today?
I mean, you guys, did that's just fall not fair.
I mean,
there should have been something that, Michelle, here's a script. Write down the stupid jokes along with all the beers coming along.
Well, no, trust me, this is not written down.
Nobody would write this down,
review it, and go, I'm ready.
This is Minerva coming from the forehead of Zeus.
This is Comedy. Welcome to our party.
Iris is here, and she's going to discordian everything, okay? Disorganize everything.
Oh, my God. John. All right, let's move on to ESB. Could be one of the
He just snorted. Jesse just snorted. Wow.
This is why we have to do this after we're off the air.
I think I need to come all the time. This is so much fun.
You are always welcome. You're part of it now. It's like you've been jumped in like a gang, so now you cannot leave.
This is...
Are we all right?
Are we okay? We're all having a good time. We're all having a good time.
Look at the table. Of course we're having a good time. Right now our boss is like, we have to really decide what's going on.
Here's a list of fireball offenses.
Bad joke.
Listen, if bad jokes were a fireable offense, I would have been gone about 10 years ago. So don't fear that. So let's go to one of the most misleading style names in the beer industry, I think.
ESB.
ESB.
The strong bitter.
Which is not.
It's not. No. It's not. Fuller's, it's fantastic. It's got a little bit more body, a little bit more maltiness. And the Temperance, the Smittytown, is an amazing, amazing beer. I'm going to give Fuller's obviously a thumbs up.
Yeah.
And Temperance, it deviates from a traditional style just slightly because the bitterness. But, you know, to put things into context, Americans, we like the hop stuff. But saying that it's a little bit hoppier than ESB should not be misleading. It's not.
Right, because ESB is not hoppy at all.
Yeah. So I actually really like that Temperance...
Yeah.
Add a little bit more hop. I think, you know, the Fuller's ESB could be almost too sweet.
Okay.
So the hoppiness and Temperance really offsets that. It balances it a little bit more.
And again, key with Indian food, according to Jesse.
I highly recommend it. So I'm going to go...
Never did
up.
Finish that date story, by the way. But
that was off the air.
Oh, whoops.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry.
Mics were off.
Suffice it to say, Jesse's quite a ladies' man, and when it comes to Indian food and ESPs,
very good day.
He knows how to lay it down.
You got that, ladies? That's right. Indian food and ESPs. That's Jesse. That's me.
What is going on here?
This is the lowest rent Tinder possible.
Seriously.
I think we're going to get HR calls. People just
people who don't work
they
got to have a
companies.
Fiance, Jesse. I don't know what I would do.
People will be swiping diagonally to get away from you.
And by swipe, do you mean hit their phone with a hammer? Because that's, I'm kind of guessing that's the swipe that we'll be doing. We can't do this anymore. All right, so thumbs up to Fuller's ESB.
Thumbs up to Fuller's and
if you want a hot date, thumbs up to Temperature. If you want to, you know.
Mm-hmm. I saw this girl. She totally liked me. She's from Canada. You don't know her, but we ate Indian food, and it was amazing.
It was terrific.
We talked about AP Lovecraft.
Oh, yeah. I brought this up. It's the name of the brewery, Jesse.
This is like being in third grade, and both of these guys are trying to impress Michelle. So they're like,
I know, I don't get it. I mean, I'm flattered. You know, I'm seriously flattered.
And yet they're like, no, mine's bigger.
I'm dumber.
I had a date once. I'm married with two kids, so I had a date a lot.
I am married with two kids. Why is that a dumb voice thing?
It's not.
I've had sex twice.
It's just the voice. It's the beer drinking voice. Listen, what are we doing?
You went off on the tangent, okay? Don't even look at me like I did it.
Let's wrap this up.
I'm the victim here.
You ever feel like we need commercials to smash us into structure?
This is why we have to do this on the regular radio. You have to break. Okay.
She was the rails, but this is a locomotive. It's going way
I
off.
Don't think you told Michelle her job as the rails, because there have been no rails on this since the beginning.
Lord, help us.
More like the third rail, huh?
Oh, Lord.
Wow.
Oh,
my God. Jeez Louise. Even Brian had to walk away from that one. He's like walking away from the mic.
So even though it's a little off style, it's great with Indian food and for hot dates, and it does represent an ESB well. So
I give
Temperance?
Two thumbs way up.
Oh. Nice.
Nice. I'm good. Thankfully, I remembered we were recording. Go ahead. I understand. I didn't say anything.
Wait, I get to talk about
get
this
yourself some ESBs. Yeah.
We're not done with you.
Oh, I know.
Hang out on the couch, drink this beer.
We might have lost the plot a little bit. All right, so
no,
Fuller's.
No, I just had a yes.
So when you work in design, you're looking for colors. There's Pantone shades that represent the purest version of a color. To me,
welcome
Fuller's,
to graphic design now.
To me, Fuller's is the purest Pantone version of that. But
wait, of what? Blue or brown or like
of
what
ESB.
Color?
Of ESB.
Oh, I thought you were looking at
you
the bottle label.
No,
she stopped. I'm the third rail.
No,
I'm out.
I was with Michelle for a minute. I was like, is he
you're
talking about the design of the label?
What is he doing?
Fuller's is the absolute dictionary definition of this style to me.
Okay.
But.
Oh.
I get it now.
With this Temperance, I want to go out to my backyard with a six pack of it and come back several hours later with a wonderful pork loin and no more beer left. So
and a
I'm
notebook
giving.
Full of jokes?
No, I tell you, it all comes
bad
from
jokes.
Here.
Really bad jokes.
So I'm giving Temperance a thumb up because the thumbs up.
And show the folks which.
This is my Ravenswood backyard. I want to go grill beer. This is killer.
All right.
Even though they're from Evanston.
That's a very,
just FYI.
Very
say Ravenswood
recommendation.
Well, he lives in Ravenwoods.
Oh yes.
So, yeah.
All right. So we've got that. Now we move on to our October.
Wait.
Damn it.
Oh, that's right. Michelle didn't vote. You got to vote, Michelle.
All right. No, actually, Fuller's is one of my favorite places ever. I've been there. I've been to the brewery. I thought it was fantastic. And the ESB is traditional ESB. I think it's fantastic. I love the maltiness. I actually like the sweetness of it. So I definitely give that a thumbs up. And what I didn't realize is that before, I could have given a thumbs up or a thumbs down on this. So now I realize...
Well, you can
that
do whatever.
I can do whatever.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Now that I know this, I'm following
the
rules.
Michelle.
I know, but I was following the rules.
Yeah, we don't do a lot of show prep, so you just got to jump in and learn as you go.
Oh, I'm jumping in. Don't you worry.
You're doing a hell of a job. So,
I say thumbs up also for Temperance. I do. It's an American style ESB, exactly what it's supposed to do. It's from America, it's from Illinois. They hopped it up just a slight bit, and it's definitely got the right profile to it.
Cody, did you try one of those? No, do you want to?
Cody, my goodness.
Throw it at the phone.
Give him a temper. Yeah, throw it at the phone.
Just give him the whole can.
You were supposed to catch it, bro.
Hey, why'd you stop recording, dude?
Dude, you okay?
Yeah. Chug.
You deserve
it. Chug, chug, chug.
You deserve it, Cody.
Shotgun it, Cody.
Unbox it.
All right, like, now we move to our Oktoberfest beers, which I love them all.
Love that, Meritzen. We'll talk about Fest beer next month, but yes, these are the classic. No, it's still an Oktoberfest beer. It's totally fair. We brought in the classic from Anger. We've figured out on this show that I cannot pronounce the language other than English. And
Michelle, will you hold that one up?
I sure can.
Thank you.
Versus our local dudes at Miskatonic.
Miskatonic.
The H.P. Lovecraft cosmic horror-themed brewery, Jesse.
Jesse, I didn't know either. So.
Love the crew at Miskatonic, but this one was a bit of a mismatch for me. I got to give it to the Germans all day.
Oh, the Germans all day! That's not a popular...
not really.
Well, I mean...
Not all day. I give it to the Germans once or, you know, here and there. Not a blanket.
Coming from a Polak over here, I'm not so sure I like that statement.
Yeah, we can't go with a blanket endorsement. But in certain instances, we go, yes, with, you know... I like their Martzens.
Yeah. I like that
and
one.
And it stops there.
Their foreign policy sometimes does. Let's move on. This got really weird.
Questionable
it did.
Foreign
policy. It's a whole weird
night. I can only polite smile for so long and not say anything.
That's weird. All right. So, the German one, the...
Anger is so good.
And again, like, let us please, like... Everyone listening to this, like, this is a German import, but this is the easiest thing to find at any halfway-sized liquor store. It's
absolutely
cheap, it's accessible, it's delicious. We are beer people by trade, but this is a beer that can be enjoyed by every single person listening.
So if you want, you know, if you're out and you're like, oh, I've tried a lot of different Martzens from my favorite breweries, whether it's Aris or Goose or Revolution or Buckle Down, whoever, because they all do them, try one of these just so you know what it's supposed to be or what it started out as,
yeah,
and then compare to your favorite local ones and go, oh yeah, I see what the differences are, I see where the similarities are, I like them.
Yeah I mean, that's the fun part of doing a show like this is we get to hit up the classic elements and tell people a little bit, but then really
it's up to
fold
you
in like how much fun craft beer is in Chicago.
Well, not only that, but how diverse craft beer is in Chicago. I think the diversity is so crazy. I mean, just seeing, like, looking at the brown ales, just trying to find a brown ale. You know, caramel, you've got barrel aged, you had
Swedish
hazelnuts.
Fish.
Swedish fish, British, yes, that happens in browns, too.
What was the one?
Can you talk about that ramen beer?
The ramen noodle beer.
Oh, man, oh, no.
I haven't heard of this. Guys, I haven't heard of this.
You're one of the triggers. Look
out. It was from Texas, but we brought it out, so it was so weird.
You think I hate sours?
Oh, you really? Oh, wow.
He was almost banned. Yeah. That was it.
Really? Was it like una mame or
it
whatever?
Was, no,
or?
I was drinking salt and...
it was so salty.
Salt and then it filtered through the inside of used lederhosen.
Oh, okay, no thanks.
It was horrifying.
Nope. There's an umami. Yep, umami cider out there.
Oh, really?
Yes. You guys should do a show about cider, just FYI, sometime soon.
You're not
maybe
the boss
not
of me.
I'm yeah not the boss of you. I'm just some...
I need cider.
What?
Thank you, Cody.
What?
Oh, man.
Have you not had the right cider?
There's a third narc.
Hold on a second.
I will say, no sour. When Vince came in,
this is part of the
he brought one
though
cider, and I drank it, and I said, this could be the cider that I like.
Okay.
My wife and daughter love ciders. They were actually at Aris for my wife's birthday.
Aww.
Don't use them. Thank you.
But just like the sours, I have tried every cider that they have brought home.
Okay.
Every cider. Because I think to myself, maybe I'm wrong. The one that Vince brought from you guys, I can't remember which one it was, but I thought, this is as close to, it had a very, it didn't have the sweetness. It tasted more like a wine.
Was it the Cedar V?
I don't remember.
That's okay. I think it was.
But it was really good. And I copped to this on the air, so I'm not talking out
of school. I heard you. That's why I was really surprised.
Right. Oh. Thank you, Cody, for ripping that Band-Aid right off.
So what else do we want to talk about?
We hadn't finished voting on the Martzens yet.
So on the Martzens.
Meanwhile, back to Martzens.
My mom and dad fighting.
Because dad doesn't want to drink cider.
No, we'll go there. If you want to go there, honey, it's fine.
I was like, I'm working that night.
Did you?
The German and American, they go with vegetarian, like Martz and beers.
For the record.
Yes.
Cody came in, and one of the first things he did was narc. Three narcs in
Cody's
one
Cody's a rat.
What did I do?
You narked. It's a narc.
You ratted me out about my cider.
Narked on him.
No, the first thing he did was drink some beer and get some liquid courage, and then he ratted me out. Then he ratted me out. That's how he works.
Us two have not narked.
No, we have not.
No narks ever.
I don't narc. I got nothing to narc about. My whole world is
out
here.
You just literally shame me, though. That's some anti-intellectualism, you big goober.
Wow.
All right. So definitely anger, I think, is definitely a thumb up for sure, because I believe that it is a base. Oktoberfest, Marzen beer, fantastic. And like you said, it's always the same every single time.
Absolutely.
You know, and we've never had a fresh one, though, have we? So curious to know what a fresh one tastes like, because, you know, you go and try Heineken in the United States, and you try a Heineken in...
vastly different. Yeah.
Totally.
Well, same with Guinness.
There is no skunkiness. Is no nothing, right?
Right.
Guinness opened that plant in Maryland to make fresher Guinness for the... for this hemisphere.
And Heineken can't do that here. They still have to skunk it, in a sense. I mean, I'm not trying to say that I know exactly how they do it, but what I'm saying is that flavor profile that we want in the green bottle stays in the green bottle because it doesn't taste the same.
Love that beer in a can.
Have you had it in a can?
Yeah.
I have not had it in a can. I have to say, it's been a very long time since I've had a Heineken.
It is a very nice international lager.
Yeah.
Never willingly had Heineken?
I have not had it in a very, very long time.
Jesse's
never been to a wedding, apparently.
That was like the big shot beer. If you had Heineken, you were...
No, my uncles...
Yeah,
my uncles are from Poland.
A beer like a crappy koozie?
My uncles...
You can include me in this. Now that I actually look, I see that you've cut me out of this completely, Cody.
Never left the wedding to go to a White Castle and miss the bride speech?
Wow, you've done that?
It was stupid.
Bridesmaid.
Wow, the
bridesmaids.
Oh, bridesmaids. Yeah, bridesmaids.
Right. We like Matt. Tears in my eyes.
All right, so
I have to agree with the boys on the same thing with Miskatonic. It's missing. No, you don't. You don't rule.
That was not what Michelle was saying.
This show is awesome right now because I'm here with you guys.
It's balanced.
It's a nice balance.
If I did this by myself, it would go right down the tubes. Okay,
it's a nice mix.
She needs us.
You guys are a very welcome addition. You are a
and
welcome
I am
addition.
Very appreciative that you guys all have me here. But I agree with them on the Miskatonic. I think it is missing my idea of what I want Oktoberfest to taste like. And if I were to choose between the two, I'm definitely going with the traditional.
All right. And for the record, because I know John at the beginning of the show said we don't really talk. You guys have been really good about talking about other people's beers. But you all have Martins coming out. Aris included.
Ours is out.
What is it?
Oktoberfest. Revolution Oktoberfest out on shelves now. Blah, 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 blah. Go.
Same thing. Oktoberfest. Goose Island Oktoberfest. And it's, if I can say, it's tasting pretty fantastic. I recommend everybody go to our tap room, look for me, and since you ask for me, I have to have a stein with you. My bosses can't get mad.
He responds to, hey, idiot.
Wow, he is still getting his way right now. This is so wrong. Yeah.
What am I supposed to do?
This is the first invitation he has put out.
That's true. Brian, you can take that one. I would run with that one. I would totally run with that one for Brian.
No, I've stopped by. Now I'll have to stop by Aris.
Yes.
Because I've been to.
But you don't like cider.
And Aris has September.
We just brewed. Yeah, September beer is.
Beer, shut up. Their stout was really good because my wife brought home.
Mortal Warpitude?
Yes.
It's amazing. It's an American phenomenal. Stout. Yes, thank you.
So,
yes.
Shut up. Cody, you rat. See what you started?
You dirty rat.
First of all, no, we've established narc
we
as the
word. We just brewed our Marzen. It's literally in fermenter tanks right now, fermenting beautifully. So we have a new brewer, Joe Flores, and then Brian Walker, another brewer who's been with us, an assistant, but now he's full-time. And so they just brewed their first beer, and that would be the Marzen. So
very nice.
We're very excited.
Nice.
So in about 3 weeks, we'll have it out.
Sounds good. And John has something to plug because we mentioned foods and hot dogs. And
what is this?
Outside of Revolution, who you work for, it seems like your favorite brewery is tied into this.
Dovetail Brewing, I will be throwing a pop-up on Saturday selling Fib dogs.
What are Fib dogs?
You know what Fib is?
I do.
I know what a Fib is. I'm from Wisconsin.
Fib
we had t-shirts saying Fib.
Fib dogs are custom-made Paulina Meat Market bratwurst. It is a Chicago dog reimagined with all Wisconsin ingredients.
Ooh.
So Saturday, August 31st, 4 p.m., come and get some Fib dogs.
All right.
Like
very
ketchup?
Nice.
Hang on. I'll let you know.
I mean, wait.
Stadium sauce instead of ketchup, spotted cow mustard instead of mustard, beer bath onions, couldn't replace celery salt. Yeah. A little celery salt.
So, wait, wow. I just have a big question. Curds. I'm really confused.
Yes.
Why are you calling it a fib dog when I used to call you guys fibs?
Is this the irony that this hot dog is a Wisconsin hot dog and it's fib, but it's really still... It's love and understanding. This is my United Nations moment.
John's reaching across the border.
Across the border.
He definitely is reaching, I'll tell you that.
Ooh! That was good. Just cut it now. That's just good.
Oh, we finally caught her!
I know, but she should plug something. But if it were up to me, I would cut this feed now because that was really good.
That was very good. We'll take a moment. Let it sink in.
The irony is for the hipster points. It's
perfect. Very nice.
I finally made it. My hat has a curve in it.
So go to harrischicago.com, gooseisland.com, revbrewing.com. We will be back next month with another fantastic episode of At the Breweries. Michelle, we hope you come back.
I would love to come back. Just let me know. Yeah. I'm probably not going to be able to now, but
Michelle is canceled.
What happened, Michelle? We didn't tell you. We thought we told you this was the date. It was.
I heard October.
John
October
Carruthers,
26th.
Jesse Valenciana, Michelle Foik. Thank you for watching. Good luck.
Thanks, Brian.
And Cody, you're a rat.
You will be dealt with as rats get dealt with.
Thank you, Brian.
We'll talk to you later.
Brian. Thanks, Cody.
Good night. Cheers.
Somewhat thanks, Cody. Nark.
I didn't mean it literally.
No, I love it. How do you take it any other way than literally?
Brian doesn't like ciders.
That was pretty narky.
News is sponsored by Team Hochberg. It's a little after 7, but that's okay. He's patient. Here's Roger Badish.